720 WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Justin Kaufman and the download from now until 11 p.m. And we're going to talk a bunch of different things. Certainly, we kind of previewed some of the food stuff. The foods of Great Britain were here front and center in Chicago. Real kind of joke that maybe it really meant the beverages, right? The beers and the spirits of Great Britain. Those are more well-known. But that's part of the reason why they're here, is to hear to share the story of the... And he brought up the cheeses. So Ro's a food guy, very knowledgeable, and they're certainly proud of the things that they're doing on the cheese side. So a little bit later on in the program, the next segment, we are going to talk with the Secretary of State for Food and Rural Affairs for Great Britain. She is Elizabeth Truss. She'll be joining us on the phone from the car to the airport. And I'm told that she has some Cubs memorabilia with her. So it's nice to see this stuff. Who knows? Maybe the Cubs can be that olive branch for international politics and detente. Maybe that will be the customary gift that you give to other world leaders, right? You give Cubs stuff. What do you think? And then we are also going to be talking a little bit about the Prince situation. You can certainly share your thoughts at 312-981-7200, as well as everybody kind of gets their head around losing an icon. And whenever it happens in an unexpected way, you always see, I don't know if it's maybe more outpouring or more, everyone gets caught off guard for sure, because they didn't think that that would be the thing that they would necessarily have to be dealing with, but also because the person was just in the prime of their career. I mean, this isn't the same as a Michael Jackson situation where, obviously he had health problems, that you knew that there were some challenges going on there, where Prince just seemed, he looked as good now as he did, 20 years ago. And he seemed like maybe, although he had so much success in past years, that some of the best stuff, and I'm sure his fans were thinking, were around the corner. So very sad. If you want to add your thoughts on that, you can definitely call and text 312-981-7200. And then it comes down to why. Certainly can't change what happened. And we're going to have Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is a Hall of Fame blues musician and one of the top doctors in the country. He is going to be joining us as well to talk a little bit about the thought process, some of the medical situations, what might have gone wrong, how certainly these things can happen, and then kind of adding in the connections with losing some of our music people. But Beth Peterson is in studio as well. Now, you got a chance to attend this event at the British Consulate.
I did.
So you got to see the foods of Great Britain in action.
It was a tough job, Dane, but somebody had to do it, and it was pretty great. Beautiful at the British Consulate's apartment, I guess, overlooking Lake Michigan. It was lovely. Everyone had their pinkies up while they were drinking cocktails made with gin and some cocktails that were made with some sparkling wine from the UK. It was lovely.
Well, you think about the foods of Britain, and it's not all, everybody kind of, they laugh, right? Hey, right. That can't be possible. That the food is terrible. But we do think of some of those foods that go along with teas, the scones, mm-hmm. and the crumpets and things like that.
And there was some of that there for sure. Had the scones, and there's, I guess, a special way to do it. So I got a little lesson on how to make a scone properly, the proper
British
way.
So they had like a scone making demo there?
Well, how to kind of put the accoutrements on the scone, not to actually make the scone, but how to actually eat one, So I was just going to, just all American it and throw some clotted cream on there.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like, hey, y'all, going to all American it here.
Where's the butter and the honey? But it was basically, I was doing it wrong, basically. And so I put the jam and then the clotted cream and put a little top on it. It was delicious.
Well, when we come back in the next segment, we are definitely going to talk about some of the things that were there. And we're going to get a chance to talk to the Secretary of State herself. And rest of the program, some of the other things. We're going to talk some Cubs for sure. The Cubs are dominant. Dino Tiberi is going to be in studio channeling Harry Carey as we talk about, I don't want to say the resurgent Cubs. This is the dominant and mighty Cubs. And then some of the best food events, some of my most favorite food events across the country or any time of the year are happening over the next couple of weeks. One is happening this weekend. It's Cajon 555. Now, if that was a country, the foods of Cajon 555 would be something that I think that would be very easy to promote. So Brady Lowe is going to be in studio along with Corey Morris, one of the chefs that's going to be competing for the crown here in Chicago. We're going to talk to some of the farmers that are involved. We're going to talk about the spirits. It's about the five pigs, the five wineries, the five chefs. It's cool. It's happening this weekend. And then also, my other favorite event, the Chicago Chicago own event, and I think everybody who loves bacon, right?
Yeah.
If bacon was a country,
that would be they would have a hard time keeping people out
right,
of that country.
Right, the immigration would be difficult. And Bacon Fest Chicago is coming up, and we're going to have Seth Zurer in for that, along with the guys from Revolution Brewery. Ooh. So that's a little bit later on in the program. So
some bacon, some barbecue, and some beer. It sounds like a good show.
A little bit of clotted cream.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 to add your thoughts. You can text, you can call. It's Dane Neal in for Justin on the download on 720 WGN. Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the download in for Justin Kaufman until 11 p.m. tonight. We're going to be talking so many different things, some food, some international relations, some politics, certainly some prints, and then also some Cubs, too, right, who are factored into the international relations as well. So here's you got a chance to go to an event at the British Consulate,
right,
where the Secretary of State was here. And she was in town doing a little bit of recon. And
right.
What's great is I get a chance to talk to her. She is on her way to the airport right now. She is the Secretary of State for Rural Affairs and for Food for Great Britain. It's the one and only Honorable Elizabeth Truss. Welcome to WGN.
It's great to be here.
So it's got to be exciting to get to travel. Certainly so much of what you do centers around everything related to the government in England and all those challenges and jobs that any government official has. But it's got to be fun to get out and get to Chicago.
It's been a great, great visit. Fantastic to see the city. We've hosted an event showcasing some fantastic British food. And I've also met a lot of great companies here who I think we could do more trade and business with.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And, of course, Chicago is a truly international city. And when it comes to food, certainly in the last maybe 15 years or so, Chicago is one of the world's great food cities. Now, when people think of England, you think of all of the history and you think of all of the artifacts and the monuments and so many things to see over there. But you don't necessarily think of the food. Was that one of the reasons why you decided to start this effort?
Absolutely. I think British food has really transformed in the last few decades. We've got some fantastic chefs, whether it's Jamie Oliver or Nigella Lawson. We've got some great companies. Today I was showcasing some of our English sparkling wine from Chapel Down and Ridgeview, some of our fantastic gins that have been produced for centuries in the UK, as well as some of the great British cheeses. We now produce more varieties of cheese than France. And what I wanted to do is make sure everybody in Chicago is aware of that.
Wow. Well, that's great. And that's what this opportunity is for, is to get the word out, because people know about England, of course, for the great beers and certainly the spirits. That history and lineage is well known. But the cheeses, right? More cheese than France. People did not know that.
Exactly. And we've got some excellent varieties like Stilton cheese, which is a blue cheese, of course. Britain is where cheddar came from, and we were showcasing some of our top cheddars as well this evening.
That's exciting stuff. So you got a chance to be here. You got to mingle with some of our companies here, not only in America, but specifically in Chicago. You're jetting off to somewhere else. But what else, while you were here in Chicago, what else did you get a chance to see and enjoy?
Well, I was able to meet some of the top food companies here in Chicago. As you say, Chicago is a great home of agriculture, of agricultural trading. We've been talking about opportunities for farmers in terms of dealing with price volatility, introducing a dairy futures market in London, similar to what you already have in Chicago. So there's a lot of things to talk about. So of course, view your fantastic city, which is absolutely beautiful.
Too bad you didn't get a chance to see the mighty Chicago Cubs. I mean, they're something to be proud of.
I did buy a Chicago Cubs outfit for my daughter, though.
Nice. Well, at least you got her. Well, that's good. Okay, good to see. That is very wonderful to see. Now, do you see, before we let you go, as other countries, you know, around the world are not only having tourism for whether it is, you know, vacations or beaches or history or all those kind of things, but for culinary tourism, you know, I mean, you look at France, you look at places like Italy, a lot of what they do is bring people in that are going through and trying the foods of the region. Do you see England being one of those in the future?
Absolutely. And I think when people travel, they want to understand the food, they want to understand the local culture. And we've got some fantastic things to showcase in England, whether it's our fabulous seafood. We're, of course, an island with fantastic coasts. We've got great fish. We've got great meat as well. And I'd encourage people to come to England to experience it for themselves.
Oh, it's exciting stuff. Happy to have you here. Now, do you have a website where people can check out and find out all the information related to the food of Great Britain?
Absolutely. It's called Great British Food. We've got a website. We've also got Instagram, and we're on Twitter as well.
Great British Food, is it? Go check it out online. And, of course, see her. If you see her at the airport, definitely say goodbye. And Secretary Truss, thanks so much for being here on WGN.
Great to speak with you. Okay, bye.
How cool is that? It was great to have her on. Glad she could take time for a quick phone call on her way to the airport. And so, Beth, you were at the event, and we know that the purpose of this is to try to make a good impression on us,
right,
on Chicago, and try to bring the food in. This is good. We're good. And of course, they can always promote the spirits, those. We know we like those, but do you think that Chicago made a good impression on them?
I mean,
do you think that they? Because
I mean, how couldn't it? Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I got a chance to meet somebody high up at Garrett's. I don't know exactly where he was in Garrett's, but he was talking all about Garrett's popcorn to everybody, and I think that is impressive. Garrett's popcorn was represented there, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, I think so. I mean, of course. It was overlooking Lake Michigan. It was absolutely stunning. And the hospitality was absolutely there. So it was great.
The city is beautiful, and they're looking to kind of make some of those connections and get together and collaborate, if you will, mm-hmm, with the city of Chicago.
Right.
Right, on a global thing. When I think of collaboration, the best way to do it, I mean, you could do a trade, free trade, an arms, agreements or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But if you can collaborate in the world of donuts, then I think that you've really found something that everybody can agree on,
Dane,
right?
There's, you've done this.
There's no winners or losers in the world of donuts. They're all, and we're all, I guess I'm included into the little group here. We're all winners, and so I'm just super excited. Beth, when you for your birthday, did you have a birthday cake or did you have some kind of an Italian ice or did you have
I did like cannoli a lot when I was growing up. It was kind of, the cannoli cake was a big thing in my family, so.
So cannoli cake.
Cannoli cake. Mm-hmm.
So I always had German chocolate cake, and for those people out there that are saying, hey, it's German cake, well, it really is. It's all American cake. The guy who was Samuel German, who was the guy who invented the chocolate, was used in the cake. So it's an all-American cake, but it became a staple back in the 50s. But it's always been my favorite long after the 50s. But I always loved it for my birthday cake. And as long as I was old enough to be able to say, like, well, Dane, what kind of cake do you want?
Yeah.
I would say German chocolate
it's
cake.
It's kind of a sophisticated flavor for a kid. Wow. It's impressive.
Nah, stop. It's not.
We got coconut.
It's sweet and
really
gooey.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, it's chocolate and gooey. It was easy for me to like. And so got with the guys over at Do Right. Jeff Mahan approached me, and he's done collaborations with Fitz and the Tantrums and mm-hmm. Duff Goldman, who's a good friend, or George Clooney,
Wow.
Right. And then me, I don't know how they got tricked into that,
well,
but I'm excited because it's
just a bunch of handsome guys.
Stop. Okay. No. That's,
and good donuts.
Yeah, let's just go with that. So the donuts. But the Dane Tonomo German chocolate cake donut. Is out there now at Do Right Donuts, DoRightDonuts.com. We'll talk about it more throughout the course of the program. We've got some here, and we'll actually have an opportunity for listeners to win one. Not one. Maybe you can win a whole dozen. 312-981-7200 to be a part of the program. Going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Brady Lowe and Corey Morris and some of the participants, certainly the founder of what is the best culinary tour in the country, maybe the world, bar none, Cajon 555. It's Dane Neal in for Justin on the download on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate, Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue, Chicago, on what is the eve of a beautiful, beautiful weekend, beautiful night. It's supposed to be great weather. I mean, last weekend was like so great. We had a little kind of springish weather over the course of this week. But, one day it's 80, one day it's 50. I can deal with that. But what it all means on the spring side is that that some great events are coming up. And that Cajon is coming up, Cajon 555. Of course, Bacon Fest a little bit later on in the month. But this is the weekend for Cajon. But it's also the weekend for the launch of the Dane Tonomo German chocolate cake donut that someday, hopefully, can be paired with one of the dishes at a Cajon event. That's my dream. The dream, have a donut, right? That's awesome.
Right.
We've done it. And then to kind of participate in some kind of tasty way with Cajon would be great. And but who cares, you know, as far as what people want to do. Everybody's got their own dream when it comes to donuts. And we got Sue on the line. Sue, welcome to WGN.
Hi there. How are you?
Hey, Sue. So you've got an oatmeal cake donut top that you make or you want?
Well, it's not a donut thing. It's a cake. My mother has been baking this cake for my birthday and my father's birthday since I was a little kid, and I'm 57. But it's an oatmeal from scratch cake with the German chocolate topping, the coconut pecan thing. Mm. And it is so special that she makes it for me still when she's in her 80s.
See, that's what it, there's some things people eat because it tastes good. Some people do, you know, because they're addictive, and others because it just makes sense. And it's a way to show love. So thanks. So I appreciate it. And of course,
yeah, I really appreciated the time with the British woman, too. That was very interesting.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's spend more time with British ladies.
Yeah.
Brady, what do you think about that? We're going to spend more time with some British ladies.
Right.
720 WGN 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking Cajon with these guys in just 1 second, but you can at that same number go ahead and text in your favorite donut if you've got an idea that you think would be great for a donut. That would be great as well. And I think I've got everybody up here now. And so in studio with us, of course, Beth Peterson to my right. She came from spending time with English ladies.
Yes, I did.
That was pretty neat,
and they were really nice.
Good to know. Everyone's liking the English. That's pretty great. Well, we've got the ladies and the men and the chefs and the personalities and the spirits and the foods all of Heritage Breed Pork coming into town for the Cajon 555 event at the Lowe's Chicago Hotel. In studio, we have Lauren Snook from Nyman Ranch. She is here. To her left and left, we've got Chef Corey Morris from the Lowe's Hotel. Of course, Rural Society is his restaurant that is there. He is one of the competing chefs. I'm surprised you're not just sleeping, resting, taking in fluids, you know, whatever you could do to kind of train for this.
Yeah, instead, I just didn't sleep for the last 2 months and obsessed about the menu to make sure I got it right.
Or you could do that, right? You want to win, you gotta pay attention, think about it. And a guy who thinks about nothing else than bringing us some of the best events in the country, in the world, all related to great heritage breed pork and great barbecue techniques. Anything that you want related to pork and spirits and awesomeness. Brady Lowe is in studio. Brady, welcome to WGN.
It's great to be here. How you doing, Mr. D?
I am... I'm good. You know, a little bit better now that we know that the weather is starting to get a little bit better. And, of course, that Cajon 555 is happening. So, you know, it takes me like all year to get up for this one event. And, of course, the one in Aspen that we enjoy as far as Grand Cajon. But how do you do this every week?
Wow, that's a... That's a stump question, right there. And
here's the question, because what it means. You heard from Chef Morris over here, from Corey, what it meant to him to participate in it and hopefully to win. I mean, it's a big deal. And for all the people that know and love the event over the years and are devotees of it, they look forward to it. This is a big deal for them. How do you get up all the time?
Well, I'm just kidding. You have such amazing chefs, amazing restaurants, amazing farms, amazing partners, producers. Every city you go to is just open arms, filled with lots of calories, lots of beverages, and just a lot of like great good vibes, and you know, people are just sinking their mouth into like really just good cause. So you go into these cities and it just never gets old. Like you can't not be energized by seeing 50 of your friends. It's like you've got the worst hangover in the world and you walk in and there's a surprise party for you. You get invited. You're inspired. You know, so you just it never stops. I mean, it's just what it is to be a part of it.
Now, Chicago, great food town, and obviously a town that likes its food, likes its pork. Now, have you had to, you know, because this is one of those things where it isn't just a Chicago-based event, a Midwest-based event. I mean, you're all over the country, 10 different cities, with totally different food sensibilities. You know, a lot of times. And how is it when you go there? Are some places more excited to see Cajon 555? Some places are insane about it, or some places you have to tweak what it is you do or how you present it?
You know, every city we go to has its own personality. It's regional communities with mentalities around different focus, different ideologies. And they're all like characteristic. I mean, Chicago is a very sessionable town with great chefs who care about what's going on in the marketplace, and they're busy all the time. So it's always a a grab-and-go community, and you go to somewhere like San Francisco, it has a different look and feel. So you have to adapt, but you also have to be a caretaker to what that local community is all about. So we get lucky because we see 16,000 guests a year out of, let's call it, 16 markets. So we're traveling around, and you just get to see five people come into a city with an idea, and then you have, you know, 75 local chefs and partners and friends who are all getting around to, like, to pull this event off for 500 or 600 people. So you've, it's very local and very, and it's very inspiring at that level.
So five wineries, five chefs, five heritage breed pigs. And it is, and you always say it, it's a friendly competition, but this is something that means a lot to these chefs. And when you look at the lineup this year here in Chicago, it could, like, on paper, be one of, if not the best Cochon 555s ever that we've had here. So talk a little bit about, like, how it works, what it, and what it is. Of course, it's a great event, and people who get a chance to go on Cochon555.com, you can get all the information on everybody that's participating, all the different events, get tickets, you know, get over there to the other events. And we're going to have some, thanks to Brady, we're going to have some here throughout the course of the program that people can win as well, 312-981-7200 as well. And so when we come back, Brady, we're going to break down this year's Chicago Cochon 555, talk about the participants. Corey is one. Of course, Chef Corey's going to add his thoughts as well. And we're going to talk about some of the foods as well with Lauren. It's Dane in for Justin on the download on 720 WGN. Nice. 720 WGN, Danielle. Allstate Showcase Studio, cool vibe. Thank you. That's a pretty cool song. And that is one of the things about Cochon 555 and all the events that are related and that are kind of in the Cochon family of fun, is that there's always a cool vibe there. Always great music. The ambiance is awesome. So you have some of the best chefs in the area. You've got elevated cuisine. You've got a non-stuffy, cool kind of, I don't want to say rock and roll, but a cool kind of a musical atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. And in studio, we've got Brady Lowe. He is the founder of Cochon 555 and all that. We've got Lauren Snook from Nyman Ranch. And we've got one of the competitors, Corey Morris, a great chef here in Chicago and over there at Rural Society at the Lowe's Hotel. So Brady, kind of break it down. Like, how does, for the person that is there, they're going to be enjoying all sorts of the everything, you know, the food and the drink and the ambiance, but also there's a competition. How does it work?
Yeah, we start by inviting five chefs from each city, and they get one whole heritage breed pig from a family farm, locally sourced, about 200 pounds, and they get 7 to 10 days to cook it into their magically delicious competitional judge plate, which composed of six dishes maximum. And then they take those six dishes, they serve 24 judges and about 450 guests, and everybody votes on their favorite dishes. And it's a very unique experience when you get to eat about 36 different dishes. What's different from the first years when we started seven, eight years ago to today is it every year it just keeps elevating. And right now, besides being very fortunate to have amazing food from great chefs, we get really amazing cocktails and an amazing wine program, all inclusive. So you come, eat, and drink with a Sunday afternoon full of great people.
And you've got those chefs working. You know, these are great chefs already that you know, are at some of the best restaurants in Chicago and certainly in all those other cities. And they're working at a high level because the stakes are high. You know, the things have been, the bar has been raised. The creativity is there. And the prize is really great. Corey Morris, of course, got a chance to see you down in South Beach. You were down there with Chef Jose Garces. I'm sure you were doing some. No, you were doing something pretty cool, right? You were doing a dinner with
Nobu. We did a lunch with Nobu down there. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, so these are just the things that you have to in South Beach in the middle of winter. But when it comes to this event, this is an event you've been associated with and a lot of the Cochon things, and you take it seriously. You've been really excited about being a part of this, working on everything. Talk a little bit about, from a chef perspective, what it's like to participate at Cochon 555.
I think it's a great event. I mean, not only does it work, like, kind of challenge myself and other chefs just because of the different pigs that you get. You know, I can't make my menu until I get my pig because I don't know what the fat ratio is going to be like. I don't know what, you know, how big it's going to be and really what the yield is going to produce. So every one of these pigs that we get, from the Hereford to the Berkshire to the Duroc, they're all different. So, you know, as soon as we got the menu, as soon as we got the pig, we decided on the menu and just got to see how much you can push it. You know, Brady said this is about 7 or 8 years into it, and you got to keep it, making it better and better every year. So I competed a few years ago, unfortunately lost, so I'm definitely back to really just push myself even harder and just go for it.
When you see some of the creativity, we remember like Tim Graham when he was with Travel, and just, you know, the candle, right? Where he had, where people are getting out there on the presentation side and on the food side. Were there things that you came up with as you're working towards this perfect menu where you said, this is really, really good, but I need something better?
Yeah. Well, constantly. I mean, we've been prepping since we got the pig, and this is good, but I know we can do better. We can definitely do better than this, or this has a lot of fat. Why don't we render it out, make a sauce, make an aioli? Like, what is the best way to use every single piece of this animal and really pay, you know, the farmer that raised it, like, their due respect? And the menu's evolving every day. I don't think it'll be finished until an hour before we actually kick off the event.
Wow. Well, you see what Corey is doing, and there's other great chefs here in Chicago participating. So, Brady, run down the lineup for this year's 555.
Well, we've got Corey, host chef, over at the Lowe's Hotel, which is a beautiful space, brand new to market. So if you guys haven't been to the Lowe's Hotel, you must. It's absolutely stunning. So we're going to transform that space into a pork capital for the Midwest Sunday. So we got Corey Morris from Royal Society. We got Sarah Grunberg from Monteverde and Pastifico. So she's amazing. She's going to be cooking a Magnolia. Corey's got a Hereford from Catalpa Grove. We've got Alfredo Nojuera from Analog. So he won the Heritage Barbecue event last year with a stunning menu from New Orleans. And he's going to cook an Old Spot from Faith's Farm. And then we've got Philip Foss, who's over at L Ideas, small restaurant, tight on space, but they found their way to get a 200-pound pig in that kitchen, break it down, and then they've got to deliver, and they're going to cook a Duroc from Nyman Ranch. And it's awesome to have Lauren here in studio with us and joining the tour. You know, I mean, they've been a great partner. We understand the mission behind Nyman Ranch. So it's great to have them here and, like, as part of, like, what's happening as part of the weekend.
Yeah, of course, you have to have great chefs and a great venue, but you can't do it without the pigs. And so Lauren, let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, the pigs are always front and center and everything that goes on with all the Cajon events, but...
And I got one more chef to throw in, so we don't forget number five, is Sarah Rinkovage at Lua Cafe. And she's going to do a Bricolizza from Dandy Burke's.
Nice.
But it's a great lineup, you know, and it is. It's very exciting to have Lauren here and drinking with us. So tell us what's up.
Well, no, but Lauren, talk about it from the ranch side. Number one, what it is that you do, why it's important, and then also just the excitement of being part of such a cool event.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Well, Nyman Ranch, we've been around since 1972. We started with cattle. Then we went into the lamb business. And when we met Paul Willis in 1995, we got into the hog business. Now, he, at first, created a network with his neighbors to supply restaurants in California with sustainably raised heritage breeds. Now, fast forward 20 years, we have a network of over 550 hog farmers throughout the Midwest, where all of them are small family farmers who basically don't have the CSAs, they don't have the restaurants, they don't have the farmers markets that a lot of other farmers in, you know, more...
In the urban areas,
in the closer to urban areas have. So we give them that network, and then we're able to take that pork and bring it to everybody across the nation. Nice. We're from coast to coast supporting these farmers because, you know, they need as much support as the others. So that's what we're in the business of doing. But, you know, not only supporting the farmers, also bringing incredibly high quality heritage pork to people, to diners, to chefs across the country.
And for people who don't know, everybody loves, a lot of people love pork and a lot of the products. Everyone loves bacon. We've talked about that. But for those people that aren't familiar with the differences between just regular, you know, commercial commodity pork as opposed to a heritage breed, you know, what are the differences that people will immediately see and enjoy?
Well, you might notice this at home, the other white meat. You know, we've kind of been working as an industry to phase that out, but it still exists. We have one breed of pig that's predominantly raised in the United States. It's the Yorkshire White. It has a very high ratio of lean to fat, so you don't find a lot of fat on that pig. And as you all probably know, fat leads to flavor. Intramuscular fat, fat on the back, fat on the chop leads to incredible flavor. So what they've done in phasing out other breeds is kind of put a strain in the genetic pool. So you also have the, I won't get too much into the science, but what we do is we have sow farms to help out farmers who can't raise the, or bear the hogs themselves. We call it farrowing, giving birth to the hogs. So we have some sow farms that help them out, and then we help them out with genetics. We have a Berkshire and Duroc cross and a couple other breeds in there depending on what the farmers want to raise. But these are heritage breeds, and by heritage that means the hogs that our forefathers were raising before we phased out the use of traditional breeds in agriculture.
And you've mentioned some of those breeds themselves, you know, the Duroc and the Mongolises and some of the others. And we're going to have for the listeners 312-981-7200, one of the ways that you can win one of the pairs of tickets to Cachon 555 this weekend is you can text in or call in at that number, 312-981-7200, and name off the breeds that are going to be participating. Of course, you know, you can figure it out. I mean, it's up at Cachon555.com. Maybe it's not. Maybe we already mentioned it and you already remembered if you're in your car. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Brady's going to talk a little bit about the spirits involved, the wines involved, all that make this a can't-miss event. And then we're going to talk about the other events that are going on this weekend, because it isn't just about what happens on Sunday. There's great events going on Friday night, the Asian Late Night Speakeasy coming up, and then, of course, Chef's Course on Saturday. So all that much more. Again, 312-981-7200. It's Dane in for Justin on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here until 11 o'clock and here for another few minutes with Chef Corey Morris, Brady Lowe, founder of Cachon 555 and all the other incarnations, and Lauren Snook from Nyman Ranch. And so when you think about Cachon, you certainly think of the chefs, you think of the pigs, but you also think of the spirits, the great wines, the cocktails that are there. And of course, this year is no exception. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that that are available.
Yeah, so, I'd love to know about the is it the wine, the Somme Smackdown?
Somme,
right?
Smackdown.
Yeah.
A friendly competition?
Always. Everything's friendly. I would say, like, it's time to grab a floaty because we're going to float down the river of flavor.
That's great.
But so, when you can get the sommelier community to get in there and have the friendly competition for fun and for a great cause, that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's something that we wanted to kind of take the judging process, because we get like 24 amazing judges who come in. And we're like, how do we impress them once again? And we added Somme Smackdown. So we've got five Somms in each city who each grab their most favorite case of wine that they think would pair
a
with
case.
The five chefs
awesome.
Who are competing. So they go out, solicit for a case of wine, bring that to the event. They go through the entire judging process, judge the food, as well be judged on their wines by the judges. And then everybody after judging and eating all those five chefs' food, they all come back and say, if you had to do one wine with all that food, which one would it be? And then that is the winning Somme. So a little bit of luck, but also a little bit of like research and understanding, like, what's Corey do? What's Sarah do? Like, what is her menu? What's her background? So you can try to pinpoint a wine that will go across heritage pork and general to cut through the fat, which, again, back up Lauren, like, it is. It's like this traditional livestock that just has characteristics that are much more differentiating than any other pork in the commodity. Like, there's just, it's night and day difference.
I might have missed this. Do they get the menu before? Hand while they're selecting the case of wine that they're going to bring?
We don't ask any of the chefs for menus. All you can learn is what and where the chef might be preparing.
It's tricky, yeah.
So you do a little bit of homework, you know, and that way the chefs are free, no culinary handcuffs to do. They can do whatever they want with the animal. But
so is it super secret before they come in as to what they're doing, or, you know, Corey, are you talking about it?
I think it just changes, you know,
changes.
As I work with the pig and I see how it like breaks down to it just changes. So
you bring in the menu with you when you get there, and that's the first time anyone's seeing and knowing exactly what you're going to be serving.
And you gotta
have it that way. I mean, otherwise people are going to adjust and make some changes, and it's a friendly competition, but it's definitely a competition with the stakes being high. So you've got the wines, of course, and the sommeliers, and when it comes to the spirits, I mean, I love the bourbons, and you've got the tequilas there. I mean, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best part about the Somm Smackdown, we've only got a few bottles of these very rare wines, so that happens during VIP. And the other thing that happens during VIP, if you buy a VIP ticket during that first hour, is you get Punch Kings. And Punch Kings is when you take Breckenridge bourbon, which is my favorite bourbon, and you give it to five of the best bartenders in the city. You say, all the chefs are going whole pig. How about all the bartenders go whole bottle? I mean, like, wow. Punches. Like, yeah. Punches are those, that's that social engagement. When you invite your friends over on Friday night, right. You dump a whole bottle of bourbon into a punch bowl, and you're like, make it taste good. So that's what the bartenders are doing, and everybody gets after it. You know, I mean, if you have a horrible punch, you're going to have a...
couple times in life I've had punches two different ways. One is like in college, dumping all of the liquor into the punch bowl kind of thing.
That's a fishbowl.
And make it taste good.
Right.
Make it taste good was not like in the...
We did not care if it tasted good or not. That was just a benefit if, you know, we actually got like a mixer in there. But then there's like, you know, the... bridal showers and stuff like that. So this is like a whole different level of punch, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is like taking, you know, the difference is you've got cocktails and you got punches, right? Punches are something that are supposed to be like going over someone's house. You should have three or four of them. You shouldn't be like, oh, I had this one cocktail, now I need to move on because it's good, but not me.
Yeah.
Punch needs to be your group. So it's a committal thing that everyone has to socialize around for at least an hour or two before you go out.
Right.
The other option is just slamming a bottle of bourbon together and hitting the bars. Like, that's different than a very educated approach to large format drinking, which we do large format animals, large format drinking. So Punch Kings is great. So one wins Punch Kings. They go to Heritage Fire, which is the event the day before Grand Cochon and Aspen Snowmass. And Grand Cochon is the 10 winner. So you've got these five chefs who are competing to be the princess or prince of pork for Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's the quarterfinals, for example. Then they win. Then they go to Aspen to compete for the king or queen of pork,
wow.
The Grand Cochon. Same thing with the bartenders. They're going to be like the punch king, and then whoever wins Aspen is the king of punch.
And in your field, this is the kind of thing that really does. I mean, it really matters. You see people putting it on their resumes, like Dusky Estes. Like I saw her. She actually got a tattoo of... of the crown on there, and so it actually means a whole bunch. And of course 555 is coming up this weekend. We're going to give out information about it and give listeners chances to win a couple sets of really great tickets before we get out of here at 11. But before we let you go, we do want to hear about the other events, because it isn't just about Sunday. You've got stuff going on all weekend, including coming up in a couple hours.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're heading over to a late night Asian speakeasy at the Radler. We've got a 9 o'clock reception. And there's still a couple tickets left to jump in. It's a 44-person dinner, five chefs all making food that they believe is... Everyone goes out and eats late-night Asian, but we want to change that model. We want to, like, if you're going to go eat late-night Asian, we want it to be good, sourced, responsibly, safe food with great cocktails. So that's what this dinner is about tonight. Tomorrow we have a chef's course dinner series, which benefits Piggy Bank. Both dinners actually benefit Piggy Bank, which is the cause at large, besides... raising awareness about Heritage Breed Pigs, and then Cochon by Five on Sunday. So we got a little takeover here in Chicago this weekend, all for the, you know, light idea.
Come
that
on.
Fat tastes good, you know.
It's not a takeover. Right? So all of Chicago, everybody that is a food enthusiast in Chicago is waving a white flag or maybe a giant napkin, right? So, and enjoying everything that's going on with Cochon 555. www.cochon555.com. You can get all the information about the participating chefs, about the other events. You can get yourself some tickets. Of course, stay tuned to WGN, because we're going to be giving away some in a contest form before we get out of here at 11 o'clock. But thanks for all you guys do. I know you guys got to get over and start working on some of the events. And of course, Corey, you need to tweak the menu just a little bit to keep your competition guessing.
Just come change it completely, probably.
Right. So Chef Corey Morris from Rural Society, if you want to give the information for people can – obviously going to see you at Cajon, but they can see you over there at the restaurant all the time.
Yeah, we're really we're just right next door to you. So we're over at 455 North Park Drive, new Los Hotel, beautiful building. If you're driving down Michigan Avenue, you're passing right here. You can just look east and you'll see it.
And Lauren, how can people kind of find out all about the things you guys are doing every day over at Nyman Ranch?
Well, we've got NymanRanch.com, of course. But if you guys want to get our products, we're at several great restaurants in the area, as well as retailers like Mariano's, Heinen's, Plum Markets, and a few others. So you can find all that info on our website.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And Brady, of course, Cajon555.com. We'll be seeing you throughout the course of the weekend. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, for sure. And we got barbecue later this year.
So yes, yes, yes.
You know that game.
Heritage Barbecue, it's actually, if it's possible, it is my favorite of all the Cajon events. I know it doesn't sound like it.
Lot.
Yeah, but this is really, 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 really awesome. So, guys, thanks so much for being
here
at WGN. We're going to take a quick break. I've got Beth Peterson to my right. She'll be with us for the next segment as well. It's Dane in for Justin Kaufman on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, here in for Justin Kaufman, the download until 11 p.m. And talking a little bit of food. We've talked some British food, talked some heritage breed pork, talked some great events that are going on in here in Chicago. And we will a little bit later, as well as we'll highlight Bacon Fest coming up later on in the month. But what goes really well with good food, and of course the Cajon events have great food. And they also have great music, but just great music in general and great festivals. It's the kind of thing. Of course, we have, you know, Lollapalooza here in Chicago, but we are really blessed to have. And Beth, have you been to have you ever been to Summerfest?
I have been to Summerfest, but it's been a little bit of time. I think I'm going to have to get there again this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, I'm glad that, you know, because you're a person that gets out and enjoys things now and then. Elif, have you ever been to Summerfest?
I haven't, no.
See? Wow, and it is not that far. Milwaukee is about an hour and a half north of here, and Summerfest is the world's largest outdoor music festival, and they have 11 days of some of the biggest bands out there. You've got Sting, Peter Gabriel, you've got, I think, Selena Gomez, if that's big. But
I saw Heart.
Regardless of what it is that you like, even if it's, wow, that was, okay.
I love Heart.
It's been a while. See, I told you it was a while.
They're really good.
Yeah, they were good.
They're going on their 39th year, I think it's the 49th year, actually, of Summerfest is coming up now, and it is. It's got music stages, you know, all over the place, not only those marquee acts, but also lots of great acts that you know and love and get out there and enjoy it. And the price is so good, too. And this guy, the one on the line that we've got, 49 years for Summerfest, 39 years, he has been there booking the guests. So when you look on that website or that flyer or whatever it was to see which band is going to be playing at Summerfest, chances are, at least for the last 40 almost years, Bob Babish was the guy who booked him. He's on the line with us. Bob, welcome to WGN.
Well, thanks, Dane. Good talking to you.
Well, it's really great to talk to you because, you know, having spent a lot of my formative years between Wisconsin and Chicago, Summerfest was one of the things that we always looked forward to, not only for a great festival. I mean, there's so many, you know, great county fairs and events throughout the summer, no matter what. But Summerfest is world class, and you've been doing it since you were 26. It's crazy.
Yeah, this is my 39th year of being the entertainment director of this fine event. And you know what makes it so special is you have some of the greatest talent in the world at the lowest prices you're ever going to find. Granted, if it's an amphitheater show, you're going to have a hard ticket situation where you have to buy a reserve ticket for it. But all the other acts on the Summerfest grounds, I mean, this year it's $20 to get in. There's a half-price ticket during the day, and there's a way to get in every single day for free if you try hard enough. I mean, there's always some kind of food for families day or bring a lid of a certain kind of ice cream container in and get in free. There's always a way to get in free every single day of the festival. It's a hell of a party.
Well, you talk about the value, and that's always kind of been built into it because the music and so many great stages are, I don't want to say free, but included with it, with whatever it is, the price of the ticket or how you get in. And you mentioned there's a lot of offers. Off the air before we went on, you talked about since you were 26 years old, what a fun and kind of crazy fun job it is. But also, I mean, this is a huge responsibility. You are the one providing the things that everybody is looking forward to as far as some of those really big acts.
Yeah, and it is a responsibility, but it's a great fun fun job, as you mentioned. You know, we try to, because we think of ourselves as a people's festival, we try to do as many different genres as we can every day. So you can walk into Summerfest grounds and you can see country and you can see hip-hop and you can see R&B, you can see pop acts, you can see all different genres and walk around and stop at one of the 11 stages every day and see a different style of music going on. And that's what makes it so much fun for all of us. And we try to get the best names working in that 11-day time period every year.
And you always do. This year is, I think, especially exceptional. I mean, it was when I looked at this, and of course we've got here in Chicago for the last 10 years or so, Lollapalooza, a lot of big bands come in, and it's a thing that people look forward to on the music side. But I gotta say, like, Summerfest blows it away this year. You know, you've got more days to work with, obviously, and you mentioned it, just kind of the range of music. I mean, Selena Gomez, you've got you know, on the countryside, you've got Blake Shelton. You've got, you know, Weird Al. I mean, when it comes to you personally, are there any genres of music that are harder for you to either get excited about or book, or do you love it all?
No, we love it all. We have like a core of three of us here that do it, and we just love doing it. We have our meetings twice a week, and we just try to come up with as many different genres and different styles as you can get. So you can have EDM with Martin Garrix on one stage, and on the same day you can have Willie Nelson on another stage, and you can have Fits and Tantrums on another stage, Joan Jett on another stage, or some country, Dustin Lynch, maybe Weird Al, maybe Morris Day, all on the same day on different stages going on. You know, so it gives you the opportunity to sample a little bit of everything.
So there's different styles, obviously the biggest names in music from all the different genres. But also one thing that I know I'm not alone, love about Summerfest is that you go back and bring in, because you have all these different levels of stages, you bring in some of the favorite acts from the past that people absolutely love and probably don't get an opportunity to see that often.
Right. I mean, you can see Styx, you can see the Commodores, you can see Billy Idol, you can see Cheap Trick. If you want to go to that old stuff, Bare Naked Ladies, Sting and Peter Gabriel in the amphitheater. I mean, it's just a little something for everybody. And then my favorite amphitheater show this year, which is not an oldies, but it's Alabama Shakes and Chris Stapleton together, which I think is just a cool booking. So
yeah. Now, when you say a cool booking, they all look on paper very, very cool. And you've been doing this, like I said, for a long time. Let the listeners know we're talking with Bob Babish, entertainment director for Summerfest. When you see so many of those names, he and a small team of special entertainment forces are the ones that are making that happen. But are there some, as a guy who's undoubtedly got to be a big music fan, are there some where you're like, you see them on the schedule touring that year, or you plan it in advance, you say, wow, that would be great to get?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a few. One perfect example, we were just talking about the Chris Stapleton Alabama Shakes. I've always wanted both of those acts, and it's never been able to work. And we talked to one of them and said, how about working with the other act? And it's a little different because of the genres, because Chris is considered, you know, a country act by a lot of people, but we look at it as an Americana thing, too. And putting them together with Alabama Shakes is just a cool little thing to do. So, yeah, we like it. We have some fun.
Bob, now, are there anywhere you're kind of pinching yourself other than those? I mean, because the Sting Peter Gabriel thing, that's really cool.
It is cool. And there's another show I pinch myself about, but we're going to announce that one tomorrow.
What? Okay. All right. Now, when it comes to home cooking, of course, a little bit north of the border there, and you've got, you know, you're there in Wisconsin, and you always include a number of bands with Wisconsin roots, whether it's like the Bodines or the Violent Femmes. They like to play at Summerfest too. Is part of that because they grew up going to Summerfest and they're knocking on your door? Or do you say, hey guys, it's important you're here?
Well, no, we want those bands to, we try not to do them every year, but we try to do them every chance we feel it works right, because I mean, they really are part of the fabric of this market, about, you know, Waukesha, Milwaukee kind of area. I mean, there's another new band out there called The Record Company, which is just starting to break, and that has got a pedal steel player from Wisconsin, and we wanted to make sure we had him here also, you know. We try to do as many of the bands as we can from around here.
Wow.
Oh, and of course, Butch Vig and Garbage. And that's the first time we've had a chance to have that band here in a long, long time, and we're excited about that one also.
So what are some of those? And people who listen, they know that, you know, these bands, and you're booking them, and there's a lot of pride that goes along with it, but it's a lot of work too, and some are more difficult than others. Like, what is the kind of, you don't have to necessarily name the band if you don't want, but what are some of the strangest, like, rider requests that you have gotten with so many groups?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Back, I'd say, 25 years ago, when you had a lot of the, even 30 years ago, when you had a lot of the country rock guys coming through, it wasn't unusual to somebody ask for a case of Jack Daniels on their rider, you know. And now, because it's more of a health conscious world, because I mean, these guys got to stay on the road and they got to stay healthy. You don't see a lot of that happening like it used to. You don't see. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't give out a case of Jack Daniels in the entire 11 days. You know, people want macrobiotic meals and they want real china and they want real silverware and they want to be able to walk out of here healthy, because you've got not just the band, but you have probably 20 people on the road for some of these big acts. You have 50 to 100 people on the road, and you got to stay healthy so everybody can get paid, so you got to keep working.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, and that's, I think, a nice thing to see as far as trends. Less Jack Daniels cases of that, maybe more cases of kale, right, or showing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Like...
You know, one of the strange stories, in the old days, you always heard about the, you know, Van Halen asking for M&Ms but not the brown ones.
Yes, of course.
You remember some of those stories?
Absolutely.
The reason they did those things was they wanted to make sure that the promoter was reading the rider, so they could see all the important things that were in the rider, like, you know, the sound and the lights and the production and what they needed. They wanted to make sure they were reading it, and they knew that if they got down to the M&Ms that they were at least reading the rider.
Well, you know, the festival itself, of course, Summerfest, happening in the summer every year up there in Milwaukee. It brings so many of these different acts in there. Now, do you ever think about or hear feedback where, because you're bringing these people in, these groups in, famous groups from all over the country, all over the world, that they obviously get to spend a great time at the festival, but they're actually kind of getting out and exploring a little bit of Wisconsin, maybe seeing some Milwaukee, any positive things like that?
Well, you have a lot of guys that play golf, so they'll always want to come up here and see Whistling Straits or Black Wolf Run or one of those kind of courses. One of those premier courses, which are, you know, the premier courses in America. So they've got like a lot of guys out there about golf. And of course, it's the home of Harley Davidson. So you have a few guys who want to go take some motorcycle rides. And we'll call up Harley and see if they can help them out and go for a ride with them. So, yeah, see that.
That's crazy. All right. So before we let you go, if you could explain a little bit just how Summerfest works for those people that love the music, love the bands, love getting out there. And it's an all day festival with music, great food, entertainment for the entire family happening each one of those days that it goes on. But explain a little bit about how it works and how people can get involved.
Sure. It's an 11 days. It runs June 29th through July 10. It is closed on Monday, the 4th of July. You can buy a ticket to get into the Summerfest grounds, $20, or a discount ticket for the daytime, or you can get in free every single day, and that entitles you to see bands from noon until midnight on the majority of the stages on the Summerfest grounds. There's one place, it's called the Marcus Amphitheater, which is a separate event. It's a hard ticket show, meaning you have to buy a reserve ticket or a lawn ticket for that show. You purchase that ticket, it also includes free admittance to the rest of the Summerfest grounds. So you can do that. And you can go to our website, www.summerfest.com. They've got great deals on 11-day tickets, on 5-day tickets, on 3-day tickets. And you can buy a ticket to Summerfest and just print it at home.
Summerfest.com is the website. You can go on there and just absolutely be blown away by the different bands that are there. I don't care what kind of music you like or you don't like. There's something there and at a very high level for everybody. And one of the things always consider it is the price and allowing people to get in there and enjoy it on any budget as well for the entire family. So one more time with the website. It's Summerfest.com. And thank you for being here on WGN with us.
Not a problem. I loved it. I never meant to call you when you're far
off. I never meant to call you when you're pain. 720, WGN, Dane Neal. Allstate Showcase Studio in until 11 during the download. And we've talked some food. We just got a chance to talk with Bob Babish about music. When it comes to music that made an impact, certainly events do that, but music that made an impact on so many people, and you're hearing kind of the outpouring of emotion, of gratitude, of grief when it comes to losing Prince. And I think part of that was because so unexpected, obviously, and still so unknown and mysterious, you know, and we don't necessarily know. He was kind of a mysterious, kind of a private person. He wasn't someone that was on, you know, television shows on a regular basis or the news. And so, but he looked good, you know, and people that saw his recent shows have come out in the last day or so and said that he seemed in fine form. He seemed, you know, as though he was okay. So it's still a mystery. And, you know, there's been speculation whether it's possibly, you know, either drug related or substance related. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would, he was so in control of everything. played all the instruments on certain songs, you know, and was just such a perfectionist. It doesn't seem as though he'd be out of control enough to be, you know, into or seriously affected by drugs, but you never know. And then also just general illness. I mean, it could have been one of those things that you hear about on the news where, you know, a reaction with cold medication or painkillers or something else that happens. And unfortunately, it happens to somebody that is well known to everybody. And on the line with us to give us a little insight into not only her thoughts on that situation related to Prince, but also this, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's medication, whether it's just the medical side of this very musical tragedy, is on the line with us. She's Dr. Denise Carice. She is the chief clinical officer of Recovery Centers of America. And doctor, welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much.
So when something happens like this, and it isn't, you know, somebody wasn't shot in an intersection or in a plane crash or a car accident, where it's one of those things where there really isn't an obvious cause, and there isn't with the individual, a public person that people feel like they know a little bit more about than they, maybe you would just a random stranger. He just didn't seem like the type of person that would be involved in drugs necessarily. But of course, we don't know. So, for, you know, as a medical professional, what kind of thoughts? I mean, I'm sure when something like this happens, or whenever you see anything, you probably can't take the medical side out of your thinking process. And what was your thought when you heard about Prince?
Well, it's difficult. You know, no one knows for sure yet exactly what happened. But whenever I hear of, you know, a celebrity, especially a celebrity that's been involved in the music industry, and it's been, came up through the 70s, 80s, 90s, which was a very big drug era, you know, going into the hospital and coming out and dying shortly after, I always worry that it has something to do with drugs and alcohol, or, you know, the pressure-related mental illness or things like that. And we see none of that, or no evidence of that with Prince, of the depression or anything like that. But we do wonder now, of course, if drugs were involved, and we wait to see what happened. But mostly the piece for me about this is that any life that's lost to addiction is unnecessary. This is an entirely curable disease, and nobody needs to die of this disease. So it's always such a loss when you see somebody who had so much to give the world, as Prince did, if it does turn out that it was substance related, to see somebody go out like that.
Well, in the last couple of days, of course, there's an Illinois connection where his private jet had landed. He was traveling from an event back home and stopped here in Moline, where he was in the hospital for a while. And they said it was flu-like symptoms. And over the course of the last day or so, people are sharing stories of people who have passed away from flu-like symptoms. You know, I know the flu usually takes either people that are very sick or very young or very old. But is it possible? I mean, is that even possible that maybe he just died? I mean, from the flu, or do you think it could have been medication that would be normally okay to prescribe, but his system was weak? What do you think as far as the possibility that it could have been something very regular that happened?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the possibilities, really, frankly, are limitless. You know, there could have been some congenital issue that just, you know, came up at this time. You know, right now, it could have been the flu. I don't think people realize how dangerous the flu can be. I mean, I think the general public knows it's very dangerous for very small infants as well as the elderly, but the flu can be a very taxing issue with people and can cause death in all occasions, you know. So we really won't know what it was until we find out what's in the system and what really happened.
Well, for those people that do have the flu, are there anything, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get into kind of just that whole phenomenon of celebrities and maybe of substance or overdoing it or overuse that occasionally leads to, unfortunately, tragedy and death. But before we go to the break, because this is one thing that people have been worried about, is are there any, and you said the flu is a serious thing, are there any kind of things you should watch out for when it comes to just regular people getting the flu, medicating themselves, things that are some big don'ts?
Well, absolutely. I think if folks are struggling with symptoms of the flu, they should always go get it checked out. It's a very easy test, and there's medication, if you catch it in time, that can really shorten the duration and length of the flu. So absolutely, people should get it checked out. And I think, you know, anytime you have a fever that's over, you know, 102 or so for a couple of days, and the feelings that come with the flu of lethargy and body aches and whatnot, always get that checked out. Never just assume it's going to go away on its own.
Well, if you've got a question, you can definitely give a call or a text, 312-981-7200. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Denise Carice. She is, of course, the Chief Clinical Officer of Recovery Centers of America. We're going to talk about that phenomenon of celebrities and just some of the times they put themselves through lifestyle in situations that are dangerous, and then also talk about the work that you guys are doing over there at Recovery Centers of America to try to help. And like you said, this is one of those diseases that is 100% curable if you get the right help and you have the right mindset. Take a quick break. It's Daniel in for Justin on the Download 720 WGN. WGN. It's Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio in for Justin Kaufman on the Download until 11 o'clock. And you're hearing some of the hit songs of Prince, so many songs over so many years. And I've had people that I've talked to when they talked about Stunned, Shocked. That's kind of been the general theme. People saying things like, Prince was the soundtrack of my life. This wasn't necessarily me. I was not the hugest Prince fan, but I don't think you could be a person on the planet and not have quite a few Prince songs that you really, really liked. To my right, we've got Dino Tiberi. Dino, which song was your favorite Prince song?
Well, you know, I liked a lot of the B-side songs. If I had to pick one, I'd say Purple Rain was one of my favorite songs. I just liked that, the way that went. Purple Rain was probably, it was a hit everybody enjoyed, but I liked a lot of the B-side songs that, I didn't play a lot on the radio.
Well, Purple Rain, of course, thanks to Elif, was what we played in the last bumper as we introduced the guest that we still have on the line right now. It's Dr. Denise Carice. She's the Chief Clinical Officer of Recovery Centers of America. And as everyone tries to come to terms, not only what you lost, from a talent standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, just from a, all of those memories related to the things that happened or whatever happened in your life related to the music, is that, something happened. And it wasn't one of those obvious things. It wasn't a Buddy Holly in a plane crash. It wasn't a Tupac, with a gunshot or a car accident. There's some mystery here. And one of the things that is being speculated, and Prince was a very private person, was that there was maybe some substance abuse problems. And of course, over at Recovery Centers of America, the Dr. Denise works on all of those things. And one of the things that she mentioned was that, and I think it was an important point, is it is a disease that is completely 100% curable. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So what is it about, as you have either treated or looked at situations based on celebrity, are there some common themes? Because we do see, over the years, we have seen some of our favorite entertainers kind of, succumb very publicly to substance abuse.
Yes, it's true, we have. And I think a piece of that is that they live so much in the public eye that we always hear about it. And I'm always so disappointed that we hear so much about when a celebrity relapses or a celebrity dies of addiction, and we don't hear those celebrities who go on to go into recovery and really help other people and do wonderful things with themselves. But I've been in this field of substance research, treatment, and policy for 30 years, and one of the things is that athletes and performers, they're a group of folks who really push themselves to greatness. They're a group of folks that work hard, they play hard, and many of them have some extra gifts that the average person doesn't get in life, right? But they also carry some extra burdens that most of us don't have, the burden of always being on, so to speak, of being a role model, the lack of privacy. And so they have a lot of different difficulties that come with the lifestyle that they're dedicated to. And I think it's a combination of those things, the propensity to using drugs or alcohol or addictions, and then the fact that we always hear about the negative aspect of this. We always hear about the overdose, and we hear much less about the recovery and the people who go on and do well.
Well, I think it's about a support system, too. I think once you get to be a celebrity, oftentimes, it's tough for people to say no to you, right? And so if you're doing something, even something that's destructive, people, you know, just kind of go with the flow. You don't have maybe, if you don't have a tight family situation, you don't have maybe parents or family members to say, hey, you got to knock it off. And part of it is, and you had mentioned it yourself, that you're usually on, you're usually in entertainment situation, and people are depending on you to be, whether it's the life of the party or to just be up awake and doing things. And sometimes that makes it more difficult as well.
That's absolutely true. And they don't just depend on you to be the life of the party and to be on. There's a whole cadre of people that depend on you for their living. So, a major celebrity really employs a large number of people. These are the people around them the most. And it can be very difficult whether the celebrity really gets rid of people who disagree with them or whether people are simply afraid to disagree or to say, listen, I think you used too much or I think you drank too much or those kind of things. It's very difficult.
No, it's an important point. And listeners, of course, 312-981-7200 with their thoughts. We had a text come in from the 773, which I think is important and needs to be mentioned, is that that drug addiction, you know, and the addiction side of it isn't curable, but it can be managed, right? It's something that you always have to know is there and always kind of watch out for and be careful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chronic medical disorder, just like diabetes, asthma, or hypertension. You have to pay attention to it for the rest of your life. You have to kind of take your, treat it. And for some people, treating addiction after they get detoxed and get on their way in recovery, treating it is just making sure every day you know the most important thing you do is not pick up a drug or a drink. You know, for some people, it's going to recovery support meetings, and for others find recovery through their church. But it's not something where you can kind of go back and turn the clock back and use socially again if you really had an addiction problem that's significant to begin with. So, yes.
You look at some of the positives that can come out of such a complete negative, and some of them are that people see this situation. Maybe they see some of the things in themselves. Maybe they looked up to or appreciated Prince, and they can maybe decide to make a change in their own life because of the things that they say. I mean, that's a positive where people can kind of look at some negatives that are out there and make some changes. So if people want to either get more information from you or to get more information about the things and all the work that you guys are doing over at Recovery Centers of America, what is the best way to keep up with you guys?
Actually, they can just give us a call at 1-800-RECOVERY or go to our website, 1-800-RECOVERY.com. And find out more about what we're doing and more about the treatments and different things that are available to folks. This is, a time in this country where we have more and different and more effective treatments for substance use, abuse, and addiction than we ever have. So people, there's really a lot of things to help people get well.
Well, appreciate all that you're doing. A lot of times it falls under the radar, and it's great to have Recovery Centers of America out there helping people. And again, Dr. Denise Carice, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thanks, Dane. Thanks so much.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to go into a little bit of some of the events that are going on. We're going to talk Cubs. We're going to talk Bacon Fest. We're going to talk Revolution Brewery. And we'll talk a little bit of Prince as well. And we've got Dr. Dan Ivankovich coming on a little later on in the program. So stay tuned. It's Dane in for Justin on 720 WGN. Got kind of a tribal beat to it. 720 WGN, Danielle in for Justin Coffin on the download until 11 p.m. tonight. And the last segment and this segment, kind of looking at the medical side of what happened to Prince, at least what we can know, what we can speculate on, and then also kind of just the phenomenon that has happened. Not necessarily recent with the last two people, David Bowie and Glenn Frey, obviously were, advanced in age and suffered illnesses. It happens. It happens to every family. But music stars, specifically entertainers, have got this this longtime relationship with whether it's substance abuse or whether it's just the nature of what it is. We seem to lose them earlier than we would like to and then we need to. On the line with us is a guy who is a doctor. He is one of the 2015 CNN heroes. He's a physician, Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is one of the founders of the One Patient Global Health Initiative and also giving very unique perspective to it, an accomplished musician and one of the Chicago Blues All-Stars himself, brings both of it, music and medicine, to this particular table. Dr. Dan, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, how are you? Thanks for having me on tonight.
I'm doing good, and I hated it. When I got a hold of you earlier today, I said, it sucks that it has to be a reason like this to get a hold of you, but I thought that your perspective would be unique and valuable for the listeners related to what happened to Prince.
Well, it's very interesting that you had mentioned David Bowie and Glenn Frey. I think on a lot of the actuarial tables, just so you know, that musicians in general have a far shorter life expectancy than the average population. I mean, think about it. Jimi Hendrix gone at 27 through death by misadventure. Likewise with Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain. I think, Glenn Frey, he was suffering a lifelong trauma of rheumatoid arthritis. And, people think of it as being a very trivial disease, but it is devastating. People have to be on immunosuppressive medication. They have joint disease. They have cardiac problems. And most people with rheumatoid arthritis do not live that long. I mean, Glenn Frey actually had a pretty reasonable life for someone that was so severely stricken by rheumatoid. And likewise with David Bowie, he was a lifelong smoker. And, making it to his 70s, dying of cancer, he lived shorter than the average, but he did beat a lot of the odds. I think in the Prince saga, what is very challenging, because as exuberant and as high energy of a performer as he was, to be taken out in the prime of his career in his 50s, he wasn't overweight. He was not known to be a drug abuser of sorts, and there were a lot of questions just about his general health over the past few years,
Well, when you look at it as, and of course your kind of viewpoint as someone that is in and around the music industry as well as the medical profession, it's kind of a unique situation how things have changed. And granted, if people are going to, smoke their whole life, or if they're going to have some of these progressive diseases, people are dying all the time. They just don't happen to be famous people. But when it comes to the entertainers, you mentioned, Janis Joplin or Jim Morrison or Jimi Hendrix. They died of overdoses, and you got to chalk a little bit up to it was like the emerging drug culture and maybe a deadly misunderstanding of just how powerful those drugs were. We just talked with Bob Babish, who's been booking all of the acts for the last 39 years up at Summerfest, and he said it's changed from a case of Jack Daniels that would be on the rider for the dressing room to now people want kale and they want devices to make smoothies with. So people are getting a little more healthy. You'd think that that there wouldn't be that kind of misunderstanding on how to handle things.
Well, there's two things that you have to understand is that every generation has their hedonism. They have their excess. In the 60s, it was sex and drugs and rock and roll. In the 70s, it was, cocaine. In the 80s, it was, bisexuality and free sex. I mean, every era has its poison. And I think that, in Prince's, era, I mean, he embodied the hedonistic lifestyle. I mean, if you look at every one of his songs, there's a great quote that I heard tonight was that either a Prince song is a gospel song or it's a foreplay song. And, Prince basically embodied and espoused sexuality and the sexual culture. And he, we'll see what happens. But, a couple of things. He might have been victim of the very culture that he espoused early in his career. But, towards the end, he was an introvert. He was very religious and, I think however the autopsy plays out, people should always recognize the fact that Prince did phenomenal humanitarian work. He touched lives and impacted the downtrodden of our society in ways that we won't hear about for years because he was that kind of a quiet and solitary individual. But his impact as a humanitarian was huge.
Well, and I asked the other physician we had, Dr. Clarice from Recovery Centers, and I want to ask you the same question, just, as a physician who's always, assessing the situation when it comes to a patient or anything, when you're hearing about, okay, what do we got? What is it? When you first heard it and you heard as much of the circumstances as you could have related to Prince, did you have like a gut feeling? Did you have like, did anything come to mind as far as what
think?
Sure.
Of course. I mean, well, first of all, I'm well aware for years now that Prince has been battling some very severe issues with arthritis of his hips. And, you know, the question was, you know, was the arthritis degenerative in nature, or was it due to what is called osteonecrosis, where either medications or lifestyle, you know, Eddie Van Halen had his hips replaced due to years of alcohol abuse. It killed his hips. Prince was not a drinker. Medications can do it. Sickle cell can do it. And, you know, I know that Prince had hesitated on having his hips replaced because there's always a likelihood with a hip replacement that one will need a blood transfusion. So he, to my understanding, never underwent the surgery. So he was quite debilitated from all the pain. And how do people treat pain is usually from, you know, pain medication, narcotics, opiates, Norco, prescription drugs. So I do believe that on one degree when he was, you know, treated for what they thought was either an overdose, it was not that he was experimenting. He was very much in pain, and he's a very slight, slender figure. I mean, I don't know if you saw photos of Prince that were taken days before his passing in the parking lot of a Walgreens. He looks like a skeleton. I mean, I think a lot of the rumors that have been circulating and from sources that were close that he was struggling for a long time with HIV and was keeping it, you know, under control and medicating itself. And for whatever reason, either the medications were no longer working or, according to some of the sources, he opted to stop taking them in the hopes that his faith and belief as a Jehovah's Witness would have possibly helped cure him or put the disease into remission.
When it comes to some of the painkillers, and these are things that not everybody can relate to being, you know, an iconic music personality, but everybody can relate to pain and painkillers. And earlier in the program, we talked about one of the speculations was, you know, that he had flu-like symptoms and there was maybe a cold medication situation. But the painkillers, what kind of painkillers are out there? What is it that it's been thought of that he was taking? And then what are the dangers for people that may run into that drug or that medication themselves just in the regular world?
Well, look, you know, we want to think of people like Michael Jackson and Prince as Tinkerbell, and they're going to live forever as we see them in their 20s, you know. But the fact was, you know, Michael Jackson, prior to his passing and his rehearsals for his world tour, he had crippling arthritis in his knees, and he the guy couldn't walk. He was limping and hobbled. I mean, those magic moonwalks that he was doing, that was 20 years ago, and you know, he's much older when prior to his passing, and he was on heavy medications, and likewise on Prince. I mean, those splits and those high kicks, you know, what we saw Prince do in the 80s, that's not something that a man in his late 50s is easily going to be able to endeavor. I mean, the pain of arthritis, of bone-on-bone grinding in your hips, I mean, that is every step that you are in excruciating pain. People take OxyContin. People take morphine. People take hydrocodone. I mean, these are powerful prescription medications that, you know, over time can make you addicted. They can depress your respiratory function. And a person that was so slight, I mean, Prince was, what, 5'2", maybe weighed like 90 pounds. And towards the end, I would be surprised if he weighed more than 80, was, you know, a couple of those tabs could have your respiratory system suppressed. And if, you know, we just got out of flu season, if he had the flu and was taking those narcotics, it could have severely affected his breathing to where he had to have Narcan administered.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Ivankovich, one of the top doctors here in the Chicagoland area, one of the 2015 CNN heroes and also a great blues musician. So this is a guy that's out there performing and wants to perform late into his life as well. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about kind of that phenomenon. We talked about you know, young entertainers in the drug culture and dying of overdoses in their 20s. But now you have entertainers that are the highest level entertainers that are performing and asked to perform well into their 60s and even 70s. And we're going to talk about that whole thing. It's almost like the athletes, right, where, you know, with the NFL and we're looking at the concussions and just the way that that a career beats up a body. And we don't necessarily think of entertainers. So Dan Ivankovich, Dr. Dan, is going to be joining us when we come back from this break as well. It's Dane in for Justin on the download, 720 WGN. That's funny. 720 WGN. Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio in during the download until 11 o'clock and talking about, of course, you know, we're all aware of the loss of Prince yesterday. And now we're kind of looking into some of the factors there and some of the lessons that can be learned and just some of the things that have changed in the way that that we enjoy our entertainers and whether they enjoy the lifetime of entertaining. On the line with us is Dr. Dan Ivankovich. He is the founder of the One Patient Global Health Initiative and one of the top doctors and top blues men in this city. Dr. Dan, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, here's the thing, and we were talking about it off the air, and we did a little bit about it before we went to the break, but unlike when we were kids, maybe 20 years ago, there just weren't, you know, old rock stars. And now you have people appreciating. I think it's a testament to the quality of the work they're doing. But you've got so many older rock bands out there where you have, you know, Paul McCartney's, I don't know how old he is. He must be 75 years old.
Oh, yeah. He's pushing almost 80, yeah.
You know, and Dino had mentioned, you know, Bruce Springsteen, you know, and they're still, their fans still know, love, and expect these energetic shows. But you're right. These are older people now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when Prince, we were talking to a caller tonight that, you know, was talking about Prince's first tour in 78 at the Aragon. And, you know, tickets were $5. The place was packed. It was a younger crowd. You know, Prince was relatively new and young. I mean, they had testosterone. They had energy. They could play all night, whatever chemicals were flowing, you know. And then, you know, it was an amazing show. And then they would get up the next night and, you know, it was $5. They didn't get that up for it. If they had a good night, it was Chicago. It was a great night. If they had to play Iowa City the next night, maybe it wasn't so good, but it was $5. You know, now, you know, you get the Rolling Stones, people are paying $1,000 for a show. It hit, you know, to me, the pressure that is on these bands, when you're paying $1,000 for a ticket, it had better be the greatest show you have ever seen. It's got to have pomp, it's got to have circumstance, it's got to have high energy, and they got to deliver. And like you had mentioned earlier with the professional athletes, you know, whatever chemical edge you need to get your energy up, to get your excitement and exuberance, you know, they take it. And, you know, it's not like the old days where, you know, they're taking, you know, a bunch of hits off joint and whatever else, a line of cocaine. Now, you know, they're having their smoothie with kale and with chia seeds, and then they might have some, you know, testosterone, and they may have, you know, some other chemical additives to increase their energy. But, you know, either way, they're still trying to fool Mother Nature. Right. They're trying to prime the pump, and they're trying to get an edge. And, you know, they have to, because the stakes now are so much higher than they were when we were kids at one of those, you know, low-budget shows at, like, Metro or the Aragon.
Right, right. Yeah, and the thing is, right, they're doing some of the things that they know they should be doing as far as trying to be healthy, but you got to couple in the fact that these are older people. Before we let you go, is it just something that maybe they're not aware of? Or is it something that they are totally aware of and that just haven't addressed that? Because you don't think of being an entertainer as grueling as probably it really, really is.
You know what? To somebody that has not played a show, let me tell you, I marvel, you know, and I look at those videos of Prince. I've been to a couple of Bruce Springsteen shows. This guy rocked his ass off for 3 hours. You know, and he's doing it in his 60s. I defy anyone to try and play with that intensity, that exuberance for 3 hours. You will be passed out, unconscious. I mean, these guys are physical specimens. They're in great shape, but it takes a huge emotional and a physical toll. And when you're playing every night, the risk of burnout and wearing out your body is very real, you know, that you can't discount it.
Well, you're blending both medicine and music with what it is that you do, and we're up against the clock time-wise, but let listeners know how they can keep up with you, all your adventures, and, of course, keep up with you on the medical side with the Global One Patient Health Initiative.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, OnePatient, OnePatient.org, Dr. Carla and Dr. Dan, we're out there on the front lines on the south and west side bringing health care to Chicago's underserved communities. And then if you love the blues, ChicagoBluesAllStars.com. We're on Twitter at Twitter.com/BluesAllStars and also Facebook.com slash blues all-stars, really one of the premier blues combos in the world, 11 Straw. You know, we got alumni of everyone from Muddy Waters, James Cotton, Buddy Guy, Junior Wells, and it's a party on wheels. So if you love blues and if you want to get healthy, come and party with. Show you how it goes.
Dr. Dan, we love what you do, and thanks again so much for chiming in tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, and peace and love to everybody. Thank you.
That's what we need. 720 WGN, Dane Neal. I'm going to take a quick break in until 11 o'clock. We'll be back right after this.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago.
Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in until 11 with the download. You listen to that song. We've all heard that song our entire lives, and it has the words, the Cubs are going to win today. And it used to be kind of a joke, right? But
yeah.
Now it seems to be... It seems
they
to,
just keep winning.
The lyrics just, seem to make sense. To my right, Dino Tiberi. He is the preeminent Harry Carey channeler of this or any universe. And, of course, longtime guy when it comes to support and appreciation for the typically not so mighty, but this year and hopefully many years in the future, mighty, mighty Cubs. Dino, this is – it's almost – they're shockingly good.
Yeah, the last two nights have been really just fantastic. 16-0 with a no-hitter last night. They went again tonight 8-1.
Crazy because in my mind, I had this, you know how, and of course you're a big NFL fan, and I'm sure there's many listeners who are, including myself as well. And in teams, you know, when they start to run up the score, even if they're in field goal range, they'll just punt it or they'll take a knee.
Run into a pile.
They want to run up the score. And,
right.
And the baseball equivalent of that happened where we're up 16-0 and there's well, we got a no-hitter going. Do we really need the no-hitter? There was just no chance. It just doesn't work that way in baseball.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Have the guy swing before the pitch gets there? You know, I guess you could do like you used to do when you were...
They could just pull Arrieta out.
Or just run into an out. You know, you run the bases and you get tagged out. You know, you weren't supposed to go to third, but oops, you went to third, now you're thrown out.
I mean, in a gentlemanly way.
Right.
Like, hey...
You don't want to look like you're patronizing the other team, but I guess when you're up 16-0, I mean... It's just at that point, the only thing that was left was the drama of whether Jake was going to get his no-hitter and was anyone going to get injured in the game that was left.
It wasn't a perfect game, and he'd be the first one to come out and say that he didn't have necessarily his right stuff early on in the game, and then he had a bunch of walks. There were things that happened, but still, it's a no-hitter.
Yeah, he walked 4, struck out 6, which is a down number. He usually is in double figures when he's really on. And to his own admission, he said he was sloppy in the bullpen before the game and during the game. And it took a couple of great plays, too, one by Brian at third base, another one by Rizzo, and just some solid play behind him defensively. Even after he gave up the walks, none of those came to hurt him. So, I mean, it was just a dominating performance, and it wasn't even his best performance. That's the scary part of the whole thing.
Hey, I was terrible today
in my no-hitter that we won 16-0.
Yeah, I mean, and you think about this, you try to put some context on it Cub-wise, and granted the Cubs don't have, you know, a ton of successful, great, really, right? You know, teams, players, championships, they don't have all that kind of stuff. But this is in a team that's been around a long time, has been playing a long time. This is the first time that there's been a Cub player throw, I think, no hitters in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, it's never happened before, and
but it could happen next week. I mean, the guy's that good.
Hey, and his next starts against Milwaukee. So if there are any tickets left, make sure you get to the ballpark because you never know with this guy. I mean, he's got that kind of stuff every night, and even you know, having an off night, throws a no hitter. You don't know what you're going to get next. I mean. His last 20, I think they said the last 20 games, or 21 games, he's 20-1 with some ridiculous ERA of like 0.5 something. It's ridiculous. I mean, who does that? No one. No one's done it in a long, long time.
312-981-7200. Listeners, if you can text in, you can call in. And this is the thing, is a team that is so good and that has so many different things that are going well, you get a no-hitter. But it's also 16-0, right? And then you've got a great record there. But you have so many people stepping up and not, you know, you want to say that you're not, you're, kind of the team photo of usual suspects of hitting, you know, because up until just the last couple games, thank you, Reds, you know, Rizzo and Bryant hadn't been hitting all that well, but you still saw people step up. But people can go ahead and text in and call in if you've got a Cub thought on whatever your observation is of the thing that is going right related to the Cubs. Cause it's when they said Jake was really good. He was decent. I mean, he was pretty good the year before last year, last half of the season, as good as it could ever get. And now they kind of said, hey, you know, you're not always going to have a year like that.
Right.
Because no one ever has.
Exactly.
And then here he is just picking up where he left off.
It's been really amazing. He comes out of the box 4-0. Lackey's 3-0. Hamill's 3-0. You know, that three of your starting pitchers are undefeated so far. And, you know, another quality start again tonight with, you know, the in the Cubs rotation. They've had, like, I think of all the games, they've only had one game where Hendricks pitched that he didn't get in the sixth inning.
When you talk about the, you know, Arrieta going and getting a no-hitter, and that's wonderful for him. And obviously, but what it means is, and this is and kind of what you touched on, is that the whole pitching staff is just, everything's kind of working as planned. You know, no one's getting knocked out in the first inning and then having to stretch it out. We're going to talk about all that stuff and more. Plus, we'll probably channel Harry Carey a little bit later on before maybe the 10 o'clock hour. It's Dane. We've got Dino Tiberi to my right in for Justin Kaufman on the download on 720 WGN. Les effluves de rhum dans ta voix font tourner la tête. 720 WGN. You're thinking, where's the Cub connection there? And of course, Elif is doing a great job with all of the great bumper music. But that organ, that's a Gary Pressey organ right there.
Well, imagine that. I thought we were tying it back to former first baseman Pete LeCocq.
Well, right. It was his album. And of course, who does he want on organ?
Gary Pressey.
There you go. Right.
All right, Gary.
We're talking about the Cubs, the fact that they're, you know, shockingly good. 312-981-7200 for people to go ahead and text in your thoughts and maybe what you're so excited about as far as the Cubs. When it came to, like, last season, Dino, you and I sat in here, and there was such an exuberance about the possibility, and this is right after they had beat the Cardinals in the playoffs, the possibility, which looked more possible than it would normally look, the possibility of the Cubs finally getting into the World Series. And now, are you seeing, as a guy who talks to Cub fans, is a Cub fan all day, every day, are you finding that even in this short period of time that Cub fans have been or become complacent, jaded, to where they're thinking, certainly, you know, we're still happy and everything's going great, but there's almost expecting, right, this team to be...
Everybody wrote it. I mean, the prognosticators, Cubs are going to the World Series.
Yeah, but then Kyle Schwarber got hurt, and you're like, yeah, that's the Cubs I know. That's
right. They let us down again. No, you know, a lot of people are excited about it, and I'm optimistic about it this year. I really, you know, I'm normally a pessimist when it comes to that kind of stuff.
A realist, right?
Right. That's a better word, realist, because we've seen it all go south so fast. But this year I'm just along for the ride. I'm going to enjoy every game that they play because you don't know, I mean, how long it's taken to be this good when the way that they're winning these games. I mean, everybody's contributing. Even the guys aren't hitting, you know, like you were talking before the break about Rizzo and Bryant and some of the other guys. Hayward, you know, he struggled. He's bad. It was batting right around 200 going into tonight. And, you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot with the bat, but he's made a couple great plays in the field. So it's all coming together. The bullpen's been solid. They're getting great hitting out of, you know, even the catching. You know, a guy like, you know, David Ross, who's going to retire at the end of the season. I mean, he looks like he's 10 years younger so far this season. He picked off a guy last night at first base. He hit a home run last night as well. You know, right now, I mean, it's April. So, you know, you got to almost temper it a little bit because they played so well in the first month. We're not even through the first month of the season. And, you know, to every night, it's like you are expecting them to win because everything right now is going right according to plan.
Talking with Andy Mazur on Sunday when I was in for Dean Richards, he mentioned something that's obviously true, is you can't necessarily win a pennant in April, but you can lose one.
Yeah.
Right. And even when you have a team like the last year's Cubs team where from, you know, they were pretty much the best team in baseball from the All-Star break but they had dug such a hole that they never ever really caught up. You know, it was one of those things where they were just so far behind, and that was one of the things, the mindset that the team had is get out to a good start. Do, you know, take every game by game, and that's wonderful as far as the just the managing of Joe Madden and keeping their minds right. But I haven't seen a team where often, even when the Cubs are good, it's usually a pleasant surprise, right? It's right. Like, whoa, they're good.
Well, last year was a perfect example. Like you said, they started out slow, you know, and from June, once they started bringing these guys up for the minor leagues, it just kept giving them another shot, a boost, and they just rolled with that to the end of the season. If they had another week and a half, 2 weeks, they would have caught the Cardinals.
There's been times where you've had teams that have had good bats, maybe a couple good pitchers, but you never had the full complement of what it is. Where they basically, and again, this is one of those situations where it's nice to have the smart guys, you know, supporting the team that you like. You know, to have
right.
Theo and Jed making good moves, and it looks like they just went in and almost over addressed, like where it's like, really, we can get that guy. Like you didn't know that you had. You could do that, right?
Right.
You
well,
see
we
people on the shelf, and usually they're behind the counter up in a big glass case.
Right.
And then
do
you
not
get Jason,
touch.
Yeah, you get Jason Hayward.
And they don't get a shot. So, you know, they had a couple targets, and they hit every target that they were trying to get. They got Hayward. You know, they went and got Lackey, Zobrist. You know, it was just an overhaul in the offseason. And all these guys are contributing now, and it's really nice to see because, like, with the guys struggling, the stars struggling in the beginning – it was great to see the other guys pick them up. And now, you know, if they start getting these other bats going, look out. I mean, they're scoring, you know, they're averaging more runs than any team in the National League right now. So if you can continue to get the same kind of pitching you're getting, which, you know, you're going to have some rough spots during the season, obviously. But I think right now they're set up to really control their own destiny going all the way through here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate to get too crazy about
you're
it, but
about to get crazy. I saw the eyes kind
of.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, you know, and again, they're playing the Reds right now, and the Reds aren't a great ball club, but you know, you got to play the games on your schedule, and if this helps your team get better with guys that have been struggling, then so be it.
The upside of this, especially in the wake of a Bulls-less,
they missed the playoffs.
No playoffs. So all the sports fans here in Chicago, especially the basketball fans, you know, they don't have, you know, local teams to cheer for. So it is nice to have, you know, baseball doing well, nice to have the Cubs doing well. And it also makes a lot of these games that are usually afterthoughts, you know, I find myself watching a lot of the different, you know, I'm watching every single game.
Right.
I watch some, you know, spring training games. And it's because, you know, when they're there, and even the players win or lose, you know, they're not going to win all the games. It's just an exciting team to watch. I mean, the guys, the personalities are great, but also it's just a fun bunch.
Well, I'm finding I'm checking my phone to see when the Cubs, I have the whole schedule downloaded this year. So I'm looking to see when are they playing and what am I doing? I'm doing everything around when they're playing. And in the years past, when they were down, if I caught a game, you know, I would watch it, but you know, a couple innings, and then if I didn't want to watch it anymore, I turned it off. But now it's like, you know, you're locked in, you're watching everything that's going on, and you know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
It makes more games more interesting and also more important. And we had a texter in from the 708 mentioned that, hey, what about the White Sox? You know, the White Sox, I guess, got the first triple play of the year this year that just happened or happened. I guess tonight, and you look at them, I mean, they are playing really well.
Dane, sorry to interrupt, you just mentioned the White Sox triple play. 9-3, 2-6, 2-5.
Sounds like something at the track, Rob. Wow.
There's a lot of people. You want everybody to touch the ball.
Yeah. Right fielder to the first baseman to the catcher to the shortstop, back to the catcher, back to the third base.
Good Lord.
There you go.
But, you know, they are playing well. There's no question about it that, you know, they got off to a hot start too, and they had a couple of bumps in the road in between. But heck, more, you know, that's great for Chicago.
Oh.
You know, both teams are playing well, and you know, it's going to be a good season. It looks like on both sides of town.
There was some serious apathy the last couple of years when they had the BP Cup or the, you know, the Crosstown Classic where they got together. There were times where you couldn't even give those tickets away, and usually those were kind of a hot ticket, but this year it's going to be a serious, at least if everything stays the way that it is, a playoff atmosphere and the possibility, imagine this, Dino, of a crosstown series here in Chicago.
Wow. Yeah, that would be really beyond belief. I think it would be Armageddon. The next day, the world would end. because you know, the odds of that happening. I know it's happened in New York, and you know, and many years ago it happened. You know, with the Dodgers and some of the other teams, and the Yankees back way back when. But you know, and it happened with the Mets and the Yankees in the early 2000s. But
so it could happen.
It could. It could. I mean, a lot of things would have to happen in between, obviously, but. If that did, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome and would cement Chicago as the place to be sport-wise. We're going to take a break pretty soon. And when we come back, here's the thing, too. Great sports. Everyone is loving them, but also those great events. We met with Brady Lowe and Cashone 555. They're in town this week. Coming up next weekend is one of my absolute favorite Chicago events. Bacon Fest is coming up. And during the next break, we're going to talk with Seth Zur and the guys from Revolution Brewing. You ever had a Revolution?
I have, and it's not bad. I enjoyed it.
You're not alone, Dito, and we're going to take a break. Dane in for Justin on the Download 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio, in for Justin Kaufman, and the Download until 11 p.m. tonight on a Friday night. That's it was a nice day. It was a little cool, but just seeing the forecast, listening to the forecast, 80 degrees on Sunday. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. It's 30 degrees at night, and then it's going to bounce right back up to 80 on Sunday. And get outside and get it done, because you don't know when it's going to be 80 again. It could be a little while.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out on the way down here. I guess there's do you collect anything? Do you collect comic books, or do you collect maybe music, memorabilia? You collect some sports stuff, right?
Yeah, I've got some pictures and some different things. I don't have a huge collection, but it's different. I've got all kinds of different little knickknacks.
I guess in Lombard over at the Westin, there is a comic book collection group event. I don't know what you call, like a gathering, and it's not huge, not a big convention. I don't know if you call it a convention, but they're there, and a guy who was riding the train and has one of the most extensive collections of comic books and also music memorabilia. We're going to have him on an upcoming show talking a little bit about collecting, because have you ever watched that show American Pickers?
I have, and okay. My brother's a huge comic book fanatic. But yeah, I've watched that American Pickers a few different times. I like that show.
Yeah, I mean they don't do a lot of comic book collecting on there. Usually it's old cars or crazy stuff, or these people have like an entire neighborhood in their backyard with like old oil signs and gas pumps.
How much do you want for that?
Yeah,
$30. No, I got to go higher than that. Yep.
But it's a cool phenomenon, and on the comic book side, things are getting more and more valuable as some of those characters in those movies become, you know, subjects of like just tremendous blockbusters, and so. So it was cool. It was cool talking to him. And Greg Jones and his entire family are in from Miami, in here enjoying
for the show at the Westin this weekend.
Well, they're down there, but also kind of hanging out in Chicago. They were going to Navy Pier today. So cool. Big shout out to those guys. Enjoy Chicago. When it comes to enjoying Chicago the most you can on April 30th and May 1st, you know, what is the best food there is? Do you know the food that is
transcends just about everything?
I mean, you could say ice cream, sure. Maybe the new Dane Tanimo German chocolate donut.
Oh, those were fantastic, by the way. I had a couple bites of that in a break.
If you could make a donut out of bacon, I don't say put, you know, bacon on a donut. If you could make a donut out of bacon, I think that you would be ahead of the game. And this event is coming up, and in the studio we got these guys. It's well, we've got Seth Zur. He is the founder, the benevolent dictator of all things bacon. And he brought with him one of the things you love about Bacon Fest, so many great chefs, so many great different bacon dishes over the course of different days. The creativity is crazy off the charts, but they also have great spirits. They've got some great beers, I think they probably have some wines, but they also have one of the top craft breweries participating as well. And in studio, we also have Marty Scott, who is the brewer over there. And then Kevin O'Brien is one of the sous chefs. They take their food seriously as well. Guys, welcome to WGN.
Thanks. Thank you. What's up, Chicago?
Well, now Seth always brings it, whether he's bringing it to the forum for Bacon Fest and the sessions that they do that are typically sold out and for very, very good reasons, or when he comes into the studio, he always brings he comes bearing bacon, typically, and now he's bearing bacon and brews. Guys, what do you have here?
Why don't you start out, Kevin?
Just kind of a little sneak peek of what we'll be bringing to Bacon Fest this Sunday. We will be doing the Sunday brunch session. I brought, what else do you bring to Bacon Fest, but then bacon-wrapped bacon.
There's only one. I mean, there may be more. I mean, and scientists are in the laboratory all the time working on it. But there's only one surefire way to improve bacon, and it is with additional bacon.
More bacon. That's my guiding philosophy.
That is correct. So I wet cured some bacon over the past week in-house at Revolution. And then I stuffed it with a bacon sausage that we used some Applewood Newski's bacon in to help make the forcemeat. Rolled that up into a porchetta, smoked it for probably about 10 to 12 hours with some apple wood, and that'll be the base of the dish. Going with it, we have some pickled shallots, bread and butter style, and then a Taleggio mousse with some cheddar crisp.
Taleggio mousse?
Yeah.
Oh, that's no relation to Bullwinkle on that one. Now, Seth,
but I'm ching.
You brought up guidance. And so many, I think over, you know, how many restaurants or different kind of purveyors are participating this year?
So this year we're about 170 different restaurants and food stations and plus the drink stations. So Bacon Fest happens over three sessions. So each session has its own unique lineup of chefs. So Revolution guys are going to be there with their food Sunday, but the beer will be there the whole weekend long.
Wow. So great stuff happening. And you have some of the best and brightest, the most talented people in the world of food that everybody loves 365 days a year all over here. But when it comes to guidance, do you help steer that? Let's say if you say, hey, we've got eight people doing this, or why don't you try this? Do you ever kind of add your opinions?
Very, very infrequently. Our attitude is that the chefs are the real stars of the show. And for us to stick our nose into their creative process, even if we see the name of the dish and it's somehow similar to somebody else's dish,
right,
you know, there's going to be variety because each dish is the reflection of that chef's unique personality and unique take on how bacon can roll. And so it's interesting. Like this year, we always see that food trends that are in the air at large are reflected at Bacon Fest. This year, we've got, I want to think, three different bacon ramens.
Wait, food trends in the air. So you're out there catching, got the dream catcher.
Yes, exactly.
Of food trends out
My
there.
My finger in the wind.
So ramen, really?
Yeah, ramen is big this year. I mean, obviously, bacon donuts have been big for some time now. Kimchi is interesting. I think we have a few different Korean inflected dishes with kind of a kimchi accent. One from Seedling that's an apple kimchi with bacon on top. So it's like, hey, this is one of the best farmers market vendors that's coming in with their own fruit doing stuff with Newski's bacon. Anyway, people should come check it out because I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised by what they can discover at Bacon Fest.
I'm excited, too, because you brought up things that don't necessarily often get associated with bacon or maybe with Bacon Fest, which is your farmer's market and like healthy, right? So there's going to be some kind of healthy, fruity choices going along with this.
Everything in moderation, health included. So, yeah, I mean, but like, for example, Marion Street Market's doing something which I would never have guessed at, a watermelon bacon gazpacho. With a bacon-wrapped cheese-filled chili pepper. So, like, it sounds good, right?
You
shouldn't think that it's all going to be a giant slab of bacon. It's going to be each dish, as I said, reflecting this unique take on how can bacon be transformed into something interesting and delicious and innovative.
Such a range, and I look forward to judging some of those. That's always the fun, not only to taste some of it, which is always amazing, but also just to see the different level of creativity involved. But it is a friendly competition, and so there's going to be winners and losers, and when it comes to a revolution, right, you're going to go ahead and want to best the competition. So give a little thought process on why you chose exactly what you did for what you're bringing to Bacon Fest.
I mean, porchetta is it's a classic preparation of pig belly, and I decided, you know, instead of just using a regular old pork pig belly, like, why not cure this and turn this into bacon and fill it with more bacon? And then the long cook time, I mean, it's smoked for so long, and since it's all encased together, it's just totally juicy, crispy on the outside, and just why not pair some great things with that, be it Taleggio cheese, some cheddar cheese, and some pickled shallots.
We're going to try that, of course. The people that attend Bacon Fest are going to try it as well. It's a serious contender. But throughout the course of the entire event and the sessions that are going to be available, Revolution brews are going to be front and center. So no matter what people are trying, they're going to be able to pair it with one of your great beers. So what beers are going to be on site at Bacon Fest?
This weekend we're going to be pouring as our pairing with this delicious bacon dish. We're going to have Chicago Smoke brewed by our head pub brewer, Will Turner. It's a classic German Rausch beer or smoke beer. This particular beer is made with about 95% smoked malts. The BJCP style guidelines for Rausch beer or smoke beer, which is the kind of preeminent style guideline is twice in the description, bacon-like comes up as an appropriate flavor.
There's nothing wrong
aromatic.
With that. Just
nothing
embrace wrong. Your bacon-likeness.
Yes, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. So it's kind of like a traditional German-style Märzen or Oktoberfest, but then it's a lager beer. But a lot of smoke malt going in there. So it's pretty smoky. The kids love it. I love it. It's a great beer. And then if you're getting kind of inundated with that.
Kids.
Yeah,
the kids. The kids, of course, legal yeah. drinking age
yes.
and whatever.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Must be 21.
We're also going to be pouring the Fist City Pale Ale, the Anti-Hero IPA, and the brand new year-round can, the Rev Pills.
Wow. So the team full of all your favorite stars from Revolution will be on site. The Justice League of of beer will be there as well. Now, you had mentioned, Marty, that this is your third time to be here at WGN Radio, and I think part of it is a testament not only to your skill and that they decide to send you out here, maybe the free time that you have, but because you guys work at Revolution, this is one of the great places. How cool is it for both of you guys to be a part of something that is doing so many big things in the world of beer?
I'm the luckiest guy in the room. Absolutely. I work for what I think is the
bunch
best,
of lucky guys here.
Yeah, the best brewery in Chicago and one of the best in Midwest. We're one of the fastest growing breweries. Affords us all a lot of opportunities that we wouldn't normally get in another brewery or another industry. And like I said, the kids love the product and it affords us these neat opportunities to get out and get on the airwaves, get on TV. We've been in movies. It's been great.
It's crazy.
The festival season.
Yeah. You know? Oh, now, Kevin, too, is I want to ask you, too, and this is before you get into your experience there at Revolution, is one of, even a couple of years ago, and Revolution has not been around for a million years or anything, but right from the get-go, you guys were doing not only great things on the beer side, but also, like, the food side was a serious consideration from the start.
I mean, that's what keeps people coming back, is not only the beer, but also the food. And, again, like Marty said, like, I love making a product, a dish, food that people come back to eat and remember and have a good experience. And, like, that's what working at Revolution is to me, is providing that great time every time you walk into that brew pub's door.
Well, Kevin, you can't have, you know, it can't be always bacon on bacon on bacon, although we would all hope that maybe someday, in a perfect in that perfect world that may come to pass, it will be. But what are some of the other things that people know and love about getting to Revolution and sitting down and having a meal?
I mean, our style is just, you know, it's classic pub food, but we just really try to elevate it. I mean, we got burgers, you know, grilled to order, nice, juicy 10-ounce patties. We spin our pizzas to order, and they get baked off right there in front of you. Our kitchen's open. You can see that fire cooking that pizza. Everything comes out hot, fresh. Everything's done in-house. About 95% of what we do in-house is done by us. Like, even our bread that we serve our food on is made by us in-house. Every
wow.
bun that goes out of that kitchen has been made either that day or the day before.
Oh, well, so you've just kind of taken, extended that that dedication to quality and craftsmanship on the beer side, just brought it into the food side, and that's cool that you're a part of everything that's happening there. So the flagship location is the 2323 North Milwaukee Avenue, but you guys have another place as well.
Yeah, the production facility where we do our bottling, our canning, and the lion's share of our beer production is on Kedzie Avenue, 3340 North Kedzie, between Belmont and Roscoe.
Now, do you guys have like a, you know, a website for it, or where people can find out, number one, where they can enjoy all the things that both of you guys are making, and then, of course, get out there and see it?
Yeah, the website is www.revbrew.com.
Real easy.
So you can see them online at www.revbrew.com, of course, at those two locations, and then at Bacon Fest. Now, Seth, it's got to be exciting. Of course, you have so many great participants, and that's one of the strengths of Bacon Fest, and so Revolution in addition to that. But talk about the different sessions that are available. Tickets are still somewhat available, some limited ones. People could still get in on this.
Limited availability for Saturday sessions. So there's a lunch session on Saturday, dinner session on Saturday, and then our new Sunday brunch session. We figured, hey, brunch is when you first fell in love with bacon, so let's get back to brunch. And that's April 30th is a Saturday and May 1st is a Sunday. The brunch is going to be fun because we're going to have a special Bloody Mary bar. We figure you can't have a
Whoa.
Bacon fest brunch without.
Is this an Uncle Dougie's Bloody Mary bar?
Uncle Dougie's will be there.
Yes.
With Tito's. Zing Zang will be there with bacon vodka.
Wow.
We're going to have Cicero Beverage Company, who's a local Bloody Mary maker. They're bringing their own mix. And then Jewel Osco, who's the presenting sponsor for that session, is going to be doing a Bloody Mary as well. So If you like brunch, which if you're in Chicago and you're a foodie, I think it's pretty clear that you like brunch and you like bacon. And it seems to me that the Venn diagram there is pretty. Yes.
If you have any doubts as to whether you do, look in the mirror.
Exactly. Come that to person Bacon does. BaconFestChicago.com is where you can find the tickets. And it's, again, a week away, Saturday, April 30th and Sunday, May 1st.
BaconFestChicago.com. Get there and enjoy all levels of edible and drinkable nirvana. And, of course, the guys from Revolution, Kevin and Marty, thanks so much. And Seth, of course, thanks so much for the public service that you're doing, bringing breaking bacon to the masses. Guys, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thank you.
Thank you.
WGN, WGN, Dave Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio, in until 11 on the download. Big thanks to Elif for providing us with our
bumper music.
Our fine bumper music. Some of it like extra appropriate, right, for the situation. Some just soothing, some slightly comical.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying all of it.
Mixed bag of tricks tonight. It all sounds good.
You know, when you say mixed bag of tricks, Dino, you know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
The NFL draft. You know, you go in there, you got your draft. You think you're going to pick this player, pick that player. Someone else moves up in the draft, trades, steals your guy. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, there was just a big trade made the other day between Cleveland and Philadelphia, as the Eagles, who already have two quarterbacks signed a lot of money on their contracts, they've moved up to the second spot in the draft and gave Cleveland a boatload of draft picks.
You act like anyone should be concerned, because Cleveland is, I think,
They're on the rise. They'll be good in 2050.
Don't they always have a boatload of draft picks? Well, it's what you do with
them. That's why they picked that franchise as the one for draft day with Kevin Costner. Because it was a perennial loser, and it still is.
Oh, speaking of perennial losers, well,
we'll talk about me like that.
No. But there was some thought. I think. Wait a minute. Now, Kevin Costner, wasn't he going to make a movie about the Cubs?
He is. He's going to.
So he only makes movies about perennial losers?
What? Hey, you know what? Of all the franchises and the various professional sports, why not pick the Cubs?
Well.
Or better yet, why? I don't know.
When it comes to the draft, another thing that's happening here, kind of just cementing Chicago as a marquee sports, you know, place to have these giant events. You know, this is big here. And so to have the draft here, just saw in the news that normally it costs $3.2 million to rent Grand Park, but they get it for $108,000.
Yeah, it's, you know, a cut deal for the NFL. You know, they just come right in and tell Chicago, this is what we're going
to
pay.
Well, but it's nice to have them here. And it's very cool as someone who has watched that event for years, you know, as just a viewer, never as a participant, to know that you're going to be there.
Well, you know what? My girlfriend Dawn entered into a contest, a sweepstakes type thing, and she was notified that she was a big winner. So we're going down Thursday for the first round of the draft. We're gonna take in all the sights at the NFL draft. We watched it a couple years ago when they were in New York, and we said to each other, it would be good to check that out. And now we're gonna go
put it on the bucket list as one of those things as a sports fan.
I can't wait to get down there, and she's really excited about it, which is really cool.
Nice. Well, see, that you chose well. Not every girl is gonna be excited about. Guess what, honey? We're going to the draft.
Yeah, you don't get too many situations like that, and I gotta give her a shout out on that one. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to getting down there to check it out.
Not every lady wants to go to the NFL draft, but so many, both ladies and guys and kids and animals. You see a lot of dogs. I'm heading to the farmers markets, as they're going to get rolling all around the Chicagoland area. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have Yuseni Emota from Chicago Farmers Markets. It's Dane in for Justin on the download, 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN. It's Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And in Chicago, it is getting to be that time of year where people are not only getting outside, but getting outside and trying to get over to local farmers markets in the city, all around the suburbs, all around Chicagoland. Specific to the city of Chicago, on the line with us is the person who's been directing, coordinating, and been a guru for the farmers markets in Chicago for so many years. She is the coordinator for those, the one and only Yuseni Emota. Yuseni, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me.
So this is an exciting time. And, you know, we've been through all of this, you know, the kind of the explosion of popularity of farmers markets, the expansion, trying to be responsive, not only to, you know, the farms and farmers and producers and people who want to participate on the giving side, but also to so many fans, right? I mean, this is a big deal.
I mean, there's such a big food movement happening in Chicago, and it's not just restaurants, but it's about eating locally and, you know, the whole carbon footprint and being a greener person. So it's great. It's great to see more and more people actually asking for more farmers markets. You know, over here at DK's, we're trying to work at food deserts where there's, like, no grocery stores. So some people have, you know, like a double, you know, they don't have groceries. So we're trying to provide them with fresh produce, at the same time educate them on eating healthy and locally. And then we have people who have grocery stores but actually want to have more local produce, you know, in their diets every day. So it's a big Chicago movement. Everybody's really pushing for local, you know, produce and local farmers into our city.
You know, that's an interesting thing. We've done some things on food deserts over the years, and kind of the weird part about it isn't necessarily a neighborhood that's necessarily calling for it, right? It's sometimes the residents there just aren't even aware that these are great food choices or options that they should be tapping into.
That's really true, because sometimes it's not even the neighborhood. It's just, I mean, it could be a really, you know, it's a nice, you know, neighborhood feeling, like a suburb. You know, I'm from the South Side. I'm from, like, 95th and the Lake, and we have no grocery stores in our neighborhood. I mean, yeah, we have parks, we have recreation, but my neighbors, I tell my neighbors all the time, like, we have no grocery stores. It's a food desert. And they're like, what's that? They're like, we'll just drive to, you know, 10 minutes away and 13 minutes away. I'm like, no, I mean, but it's about education and educating people that, you know, the food is out there. It's just you have to find a way to bring it to you.
It's cool to see you guys, the city and DK's, getting involved and kind of looking at it from that perspective. I think it's kind of a natural expansion of all of those things. Chicago is, of course, a city of great neighborhoods, and they are so different, right? There's so much diversity, not only in the people that are there, but the way that they live, the things that they like. Just, you know, the stories are so different, and the farmers markets have tried to be a part of so many of those different neighborhoods. So talk about some of the key ones, and then just, I guess, the number of markets that are out there this year.
Yeah, I mean, every single farmer's market, I tell people, it's different. You know, there's some farmer's markets actually, some farmers actually grow for their communities, whether it's, you know, it's an Asian community or African-American community. Once the farmer's markets are there and established, they build relationships to their customers and start growing for them the following season. I mean, in the city of Chicago alone, we have 77 neighborhoods, I believe. Well, we have over 60 in farmer's markets between the city and independently managed.
Wow.
Which is more than New York. So it's amazing. I mean, every market is different. Every market is worth visiting, whether it's on the south side, the north side, the west side, or the east side. You get a different experience every time you go to a different farmer's market.
Well, as you guys try to curate some of the things that are there for the people to choose from, you know, there's some regular, you know, vegetable staples or bread staples or things like that. But are you surprised as people become a little more savvy on the food side that they're asking for things, then you have to go find someone to bring it into the market?
People are asking for, like, different types of vegetables, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm at Daily Plaza a lot because it's right down from our office, and it's the oldest farmer's market in the city. And I actually just walk among, you know, some of the customers, and I hear people asking the farmers, do you have this sort of vegetable or this squash? And they'll name, like, some kind of squash I've never heard of, and it's purple or something. And the farmer's like, no, but I think my neighbor does, and, you know, I'll get back to you in a few weeks. And it's always something. People are being more, you know, with access to internet and social media and Facebook, you know, we're swapping recipes, which is great, but we also have to find somebody who's going to grow those products for us.
Right. Well, and also, you mentioned, of course, you know, the chef community, the restaurant community, and they're kind of a driving force, too, where people may, you know, have something at one of our great restaurants and then say, like, oh, I want to go make that, but then they have to, like you said, find someone that grows it and brings it to the market. So 60 different markets. Can you describe maybe a couple, maybe five or six that kind of are all around the city? Daily Plaza, you mentioned, that is a huge urban, bustling market, but then there's some that have a neighborhood feel.
Yeah, I mean, we our focus right now for DK's is really underserved areas with low access. So this year we'll be in Roseland and North Lawndale, and we're working with CPS, which is one of our partners, and Urban Farmers. Those are great markets. You know, also there's like a new farmers market at the Gary Comer Youth Center, where you have students growing the farms. I mean, we like to promote all the farmers markets, whether they're run by the city or not. I mean, they're all sending such a great message, and we share farmers, which is great. You know, there's a new farmers market in Ravenswood. There's a lot more night markets going on.
Wow.
the Argyle Night Market is always one of my top favorites. It's on Thursday, and it's really more of a food market. You have your farmers, but you have all these restaurants kind of set up on the street selling their prepared goods, and it's like, and then you have music. So it's always a destination. You know, every single market is different.
You see, that's really cool. You know, where some are more of, you know, people are in and out. It's almost like a grocery store feel. People are coming, and then some, like you said, it's a destination. It's an experience. It's almost a festival, right, where people look forward to it and they really enjoy an extended period of time.
Yeah. I mean, you have your usual shoppers that go to a farmer's market. You know what you're getting. You know what your farmer. You have your grocery list, which is great. But then you have people who are driving into the neighborhood to, you know, not just visit the farmer's market, but see what else the market is providing or you know, offering. And you're bringing more, you know, you're bringing residents to your neighborhood. You're bringing more economic, commerce to your, you know, to your market. You know, you're making your neighborhood a little bit more known as, you know, as a destination instead of just driving by.
Well, you've mentioned a few of them. I'm sure people want to check them out, and I'm sure there's a website where they can do that as well. But for those people, you know, people hear this on WGN, they're going to say, oh, I got to get out to that market. But for those people that may have either great artisan goods or products, or they're a farmer and want to participate, like, what's the process for people to get involved on the farmer side?
Okay, so, well, there's two simple ways. You can find us online at chicagofarmersmarkets.us. We run 17 markets. The city runs 17 markets, but we also have access to the other, you know, 40-plus markets. So if somebody's interested, they can just send me an email, tell me what you're looking to sell, and if you don't fit, you know, any of our, if our markets are up to capacity, we'll share your information with the other farmers markets managers. You know, it's like a... it's a group of us who kind of are always constantly communicating back and forth, who has this vendor, who doesn't have that vendor. We're always here to support and help each other. So if they can contact me, I can put them in the right direction.
Well, that's great that it's a collaborative effort, too, because everybody's, because it isn't just one thing that the city's putting on, right? It's this whole kind of organic situation where farmers are there, and you can't have a market without people, and you can't have a market without people and then farmers, and everybody's kind of got to work together to put people in the right place. For the right place for people to email, do you want to give that website and, of course, your email address?
Sure. It's our website is chicagofarmersmarkets.us, and it's plural with the farmers and the markets. And my email is ymota@cityofchicago.org.
ymota@cityofchicago.org. So it wouldn't be a complete, you know, opportunity for the 2016 season, because you guys do have the markets, you manage the markets, people enjoy them. But also, you guys do a lot of cool events. I mean, there's things that you guys build into the season that are really fun.
We do. We have a lot of great events. You know, our first one that's kind of kicking off the farmers market, kicking off our event season is Kids and Kites, which is May 7th at Montrose. That's a great event. I actually attended with my family and my little one, and, you know, we get to, you know, the little one gets to draw her own kite and fly it, and then we have some programming going on as well. But something that's related to farmers market and culinary is our Lake Effects, which is May 13th to the 15th. And we're hosting a whole bunch of workshops at the Cultural Center. It's kind of like South by Southwest, but in the Midwest, and it's free. Because, as you know, everything the DK's does is free to our general public.
I didn't know that, I'm glad to hear it.
tons going on. There's always something to do. We're always busy. We're always trying to bring, you know, free programming to everybody in the city and its residents and its guests as well.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. Not only great food, but great experiences all summer long here in Chicago with all of the farmers markets. It's chicagofarmersmarkets.org. And for DK's, for all those other events, is there a separate website?
It's cityofchicago.org/DK's.
Oh, it sounds great. People are going to enjoy the summer. So many fun things happening, and a big part of it's going to be the stuff that you're working on. Yesenia, thanks so much for being in WGN.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I love it. Is this Bjork?
No, it's Marina and the Diamonds.
Wow, now there's one of my favorite bands of all time. 720. Marina and the Diamonds.
720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio, in for Justin in the Download for just a handful of minutes. And to my right for the last part of this program, talking Cubs and so many other hard-hitting news topics as well, has been Dino Tiberi. But he has a superpower, his very own superpower, to channel Cubs' beloved and also Budweiser beloved icon, Harry Caray.
Well, of course, for all you do, this Bud's for you, Dane. It's great to be down there on a beautiful Chicago night. A lot of people out walking around here. The showcase studio here at WGN. It's fantastic.
Well, it's nice. You were always a fan of not only Budweiser, but also people, right? You loved people. You loved getting out there. You loved kind of mingling and sharing what it is that you did and were excited about with the fans.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Whenever you went, there's always someone wanted to say hello or talk baseball or whatever it was. It didn't even have to be about baseball. It's just about, as you said, the people. Without them, we're nothing, man. Without those type of situations that you encounter on the street with the everyday man, none of this happens.
One of the things that you loved and that people loved about you, other than all of the things, is those interactions. And oftentimes, people would find you out and about at maybe a bar or a club out there imbibing and enjoying and kind of just mingling with the people.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you're done after a long nine-inning game plus of baseball, you just want to unwind and have a nice cold beverage of whatever it is and kick back and relax. And so many other people are doing the same thing. It's only natural that we talk and get together and commiserate about what's going on in their lives.
Well, you can have a great beverage, but it's always good to have something in your hand to eat as well. And I got to give one more shout out, at least today, to the folks over at Do Right Donut, Chef Jeff Mahan and Francis Brennan coming up. They do this thing called the Donut Collaborations. And once in, it's like every few weeks they'll do it. And they've done it with Fitz and the Tantrums. They've done it with George Clooney. They've done it with Duff Goldman, a good friend who's also a baker, not only of not of donuts necessarily, but cakes. And so, and then now there's the Dane Tonomo German chocolate cake donut. It's one thing. That's always been
named after you, of course.
Well, I always loved German chocolate cake. It was the thing I would ask for as a kid, and it was the birthday cake. My mom would make it for me, and I would enjoy it, and still do to this day. And so the thought of taking all of that kind of traditional goodness and all those memories and packaging in what would be an awesome donut has been great, and they did it. So it's going to be there at DoRightDonuts.com. You can even order a donut, have it waiting for you, which is very nice. And you can go there, you can order one, order 10, order a dozen, order however many you want before until they run out from now until May 12th.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic. I just had a bite of it, Dane. And
what's your favorite part of it?
Well, all of it. It's very moist. It tastes very good. And, if you had a nice cold Budweiser to go with this, now you're talking.
Wow. Budweiser and a German
chocolate donut. Why not?
DoRightDonuts.com. Now, Harry, if you would think of some product that could have your name on it, that would really epitomize, exemplify what it is you were and what you did, what would it be? Other than, and don't just go straight for beer or whiskey or something, go for maybe like a product that could help people, like a Swiffer.
You could wipe your friends away with that, Dane. A Swiffer, that's an interesting concept.
Well, or anything, because Harry had regular things he did, like, geez, are you swatting flies? I don't know.
Well, listen, I think he'd have been a good fisherman because he would have had a ball. I used to use a ball net at the ballpark, too. Oh. And I would catch those foul balls in the ball net. So maybe something along the lines of
like a pocket fisherman.
Maybe Popeil pocket fisherman. Maybe you're right.
Harry Carey's
Popeil pocket fisherman. Why not?
Yeah, that sounds good. All right. That sounds good. Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate having you in as well. And, of course, all the guests that were a part of the program. I'm staying in for Justin on the download, 720 WGN.